3, 2, 1, go.
Hi, and welcome to the Technocrat Live. I'm Matt Newhall, your host, and this is TTL 20. Thank you so much for being on my show, Aziza Brown. Yes. Of Dynamic Focus.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
This is going to be fun. So, thanks a lot. This is going to be a different and a weird show. It's going to be a little more accessible, maybe, than some other shows of the Technocrat Live, because while video games certainly are technical, they're also really accessible, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's a very low barrier to entry. You can just pick up a controller and play. So hopefully this will be lots of fun for you, and it actually gets really deep, too. So it's going to get weird, people. Watch Black Mirror, if you don't know what I'm talking about. Do you watch Black Mirror?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, yeah, so you know exactly what
it's,
I'm talking
it's
about.
Not gonna be
I'm not talking about Striking Vipers. I'm just talking about the universe.
Yeah, I know. That's not going to happen.
Holy cow, that will so not happen.
That was weird.
That was very strange. Well, so I actually have a short up on my channel about Striking Vipers.
Okay.
It's a different take. I had a debate. Normally my wife and I don't debate things.
Yes.
Like technical things. She just thinks I'm annoying and I talk a lot.
Okay.
Which is obvious. The question was, is the deal they strike at the end fair? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is it really, because he's doing something in a virtual world and she's doing something in the real physical world.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, yeah, that's really unfair. And then I thought about it a little more, and I'm giving away the short here, but that's okay. It's fine. The insight's the same. So, of course, in that universe, people die all the time from the cookies.
Yes.
They can be fatal. Like, if something goes wrong, it can mess you up or even kill you.
Yeah.
So he's in danger, too. So in that way, it is kind of fair, right? So
right.
She's presenting risk, and so is he.
Yeah.
So, like, at first I was like, that's unfair. I'm like, it actually kind of is fair because cookies suck. So
cookies did suck a lot.
They have a lot of problems, right?
They do have a lot of problems.
So I love that show. If you haven't seen Black Mirror, check it out. I like to do some news at the beginning just to get warmed up. And if you have any opinions on this, and feel free to chime in. But you know, it was actually kind of a slow. It was kind of a slow week. So I just wanted the first ones. I'm not gonna talk names. If you want, I'll give you details. I have sources if I need them. You know, sometimes people are like, cite your source, and I'm like, all right, fine.
Okay.
But I don't want to go there. So, there was a court ruling that politicians must allow follows on social media. That you must be able to follow a if you want to follow a politician, they must allow you to follow them. In other words, to see what they're posting.
Yeah.
Because there's like a civic interest in it. So. The thing is, apparently, Twitter has actually shut removed a politician's post and the politician posted a video of someone threatening them, and they actually took the video down. And I'm just like, this. So this really comes back down to the question of, you know, are social media platforms the soapbox, or are social media platforms the megaphone? And I think they're trying to be both, and I don't think they can be both, right? You know, in other words, it's either the thing you stand on to say something, or it's the thing you yell things, or it's the person on the soapbox yelling through the megaphone.
Yeah.
Right? You can't be the whole thing. You can only be this or that. And it seems to me like taking on, you know, if a politician has to be in the platform, then they shouldn't be censored unless they've done something illegal. You know, I mean, obviously the post is illegal, right?
Yeah.
They're doxing someone or something.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, doxing is, people might not know. Doxing is when you reveal someone's identity or their private information.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just thought I'd bring this up. It was, it's really hot right now. The people involved are not liked by some people, so I don't want to talk names, but it's an interesting case. You know, it should be, you're an advocate or your soapbox. It really shouldn't be both. It's craziness. And I hope we don't get to a point where the government enforces that, because this is going to get weirder. It's going to get weirder for small people trying to like talk about stuff like this, because then you're going to get caught in a dragnet. Algorithm dragnet. Okay, so that's probably the most political thing. So I don't know if you heard about the Stop and Shop robots. If you haven't heard about the Stop and Shop.
No.
Stop and Shop has deployed like 400 stores or something, or maybe I'm exaggerating that. I got to look at the story, but for sure, a friend of mine saw it in a store, so this is real. This is really happening. There are 8-foot robots wandering around.
Yes, Marty.
Marty. Wandering around Stop and Shops. And they made them that tall. Apparently, they are spill detecting robots. And they move very slowly. They move like slow Roombas.
Okay.
But they're 8 feet tall.
Okay.
And to make them less scary, I guess, they put giant googly eyes on them and a big smiley face, which apparently works with the kids, but just further horrifies the adults.
My friend works in the meat department, like the butcher department.
Uh-huh.
He sent me videos of it, and they're playing Thriller on the thing was
wandering
around.
What?
What
is?
He's like,
this is why I like to do the news, because what?
Yeah, what?
I'm absolutely terrified of this thing, and this is Mike. He's from Tails.
Right. Oh, okay.
He's like, I'm absolutely terrified.
Everyone is. My friend was, a friend of mine videotaped it too. He's holding a shopping cart between it and him. It's like, get it away from me.
2 hours later, he texts me and he's like, you know, we're cool now. Marty, you're cool.
Yeah, I would be cool after I threw an EMP grenade on it too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like, for me, being of the skin color that I am, and sorry, but I just came back from Vegas, and they had an issue with the automated taxis, the cars that drive by themselves.
Uh-huh.
They had a problem with people with darker skin. Like, they couldn't detect those people.
The auto taxis were racist?
They were racist. So anything that...
Don't worry, folks. We know what we're doing.
So now when you see wait until Stop and Shop is actually, like, is it the same sensors that they have for the cars?
Have you ever seen the show Better Off Ted?
No.
So they did this in Better Off Ted. And apparently, actually, this is something that's happened. It was based on a real life thing. They had light sensors in this. It was this R&D, Better Off Ted's like sitcom.
Yeah.
It only lasted like one season. But it was a sitcom about an R&D department. And the R&D department had light sensors.
Yeah.
And the light sensors had a glitch, which is they wouldn't see black people.
Because that's actually what happened with the cars. So it actually is the technology that has that problem where they don't detect black people.
What?
So...
I mean, is this people being intentionally hilarious? I mean, you know.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's just...
Or horrific.
It's horrific.
It's horrific. It is hilarious because it's horrific. Mm. Pain is the source of humor. Mm. Oh, my God, I'm crying. Okay. we haven't even really gotten into it yet. I hear thunder.
Yeah.
If we got cut out, well, sorry. You know, I blame electricity. All right, so there was a thing that briefly blipped in the news. Trump was saying that he's considering the possibility that video games need further classification because of violence in video games. He's running some kind of panel. It was a little some of the headlines I found were a little hyperbolic. It seems what it actually is just, he's just looking at the results of a panel and maybe commissioning another one.
Okay.
So it's kind of like when you're in charge and you don't want to make a decision on something, you put a committee in charge of it. So he probably knows this is a hot issue, but. What do you think about that? I'm curious. I mean, obviously, right?
Yeah.
You guys do Mortal Kombat as one of your games.
Yes.
Yeah. Get over here.
Get over here.
So, I mean, you can't be against violence in video games.
Okay.
But, I mean, you know, is there any point at which you think this is legitimate, or is this crazy, or is it just wrong? I mean...
I get, like, it's still the scapegoat of violence in America versus violence in video games. Like, there's several stories and correlations that show that violence in video games do not correlate to violence in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's too many. Yeah. There's too many studies. There's too many correlations and like, there's too many things. It just says like this is not it because.
Right.
You have the graph of violence in America versus every single country that that buys violent video games.
Right.
And we're basically top three, but we're breaking the scale. There's no correlation whatsoever.
Right, right, right. And I actually, if anything, I think it's, I find that for me personally, playing violent video games, I find it relaxing. If I'm stressed out and I sit down and I play a violent video game, like I'm pretty good at first person shooters. I'm not league quality, but so. Forget it, but but I'm good enough that when I'm playing against people who aren't actually competing for something, that I do well, and it's relaxing. I mean, it's just like I come out of there and I feel great. You know, like, hey kids, I'm hugging my kids. I call up a friend. You know, I take care of some chores. I'm like, I feel good, and it just gets that stress out of my system. So, you know, this is kind of something that's seems to be coming up with. There was a really great article, and I can't cite it, that I just read, talking about how the mentally ill have a different sensitivity level, specifically some mentally ill people, and that when people don't argue, when they fight instead, and the difference between arguing and fighting is, you know, the difference between trying to win a contest to win versus trying to make both people better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, is that a fair definition or?
It's fair, yeah.
Yeah, so, when people are fighting, they just, it has the worst effects on the mentally ill, and sometimes they go, cuckoo, and I could see that weakness also maybe applying to video games, but at the same time, why should everyone suffer? Because they can't handle it. You know, for sure, you can find a person that can't handle it.
Yeah.
But why should everyone suffer because that person can't handle it? I don't understand how that works.
I don't understand. Like, well, we had the issue when it came to violence in movies and stuff like that. When, you know, somebody came along and said, the movies are turning our children violent. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, back in the 80s and stuff like that. So it's still the same kind of scapegoat happening again, where we're just like...
Well, so children are more sensitive and they should...
Children
should give them more, keep them away from it more.
Yeah, keep away from them more. Like, when I see somebody throwing their kid in front of Mortal Kombat, I'm like... Why? Why are you exposing your child to so much right now?
When I was younger, I mean, I don't want to betray how old I am, but, you know, when I was younger, you know, I'm going back to the Street Fighter, the early Street Fighter days, but, you know, like, you know, there was no avoiding it, because I'd go to the arcade to play one game, and Mortal Kombat would be right there next to it.
I know.
You know, and that was before any ratings, really, and then I think eventually they put a rating on it, but then arcade games were going away anyway, so.
Yeah.
But I just... I don't know. I feel like kids can handle it. Kids aren't stupid. They're just inexperienced.
Yes.
Right. And they just need a guide to say, yeah, this is made up.
You know? I mean, it's made up. But
nobody's harpooning someone on the street.
No one's harpooning anybody. but you still, like, now Mortal Kombat 11, like, the fatalities are more photorealistic. Mm-hmm. I mean...
Oh, my God, it's so realistic.
Some of it, you just...
It is really good. You can just go look at a video of it.
It's cringy. Like, my player, like, he plays Garrus. Mm-hmm. So he likes to do the one fatality, which, like, makes me, like actually flinch, was the one where he breaks a person's hand and he rips them in half. And all the anatomy just flies out. I'm like, ugh. And I'm just sitting down here going like, yeah,
is he doing that to troll you, or
he does? No, he likes to do it all the time.
Like, oh, okay,
it's just him.
Oh, it wasn't just needle you. It's just because he likes that fatality.
He just loves doing it. He every single round he has to do a fatality or brutality.
Yeah,
because he just likes showing off in front of people because that's who he is.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's showboating.
He's a showboat.
Right, right. But, it's like the dance after you get a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's really what it is, right? The fatalities are the touchdown dance.
Yeah, it is.
Right. Cool. All right. So thanks for your input on that. You know, you didn't have to chime in. You can, if at any time any of this stuff's like, I'm not answering that, just say you're not answering it, you know?
Cool.
So there was this toll agency thing is a little tough to talk about. It's a little complicated. So apparently in California, a toll agency had... There was a loophole in the law where a toll agency was allowed to use private contractors and private methods to invoke to source data on toll violators. But the problem is the people in California don't like it because they think it's a privacy violation. And also, they're bad at it, and they get it wrong sometimes. And that results in heinous and ridiculous fines that, you know, really... And this is something that's going to be happening countrywide because, you know, most electronic easy pass kind of toll booths, if they don't read an easy pass, they grab your plate and they try to bill you anyway.
Yeah.
Bill you, you know, through that. But if that information's wrong, you know, apparently in California they're not doing it through DMV, they're doing it through private contractors, and there's been some mishaps and people are suing California and winning. So they're trying to pass an ex post facto law for the past 8 years to indemnify the toll companies, you know, from being sued, which, because ultimately it ends up coming out of California's, you know,
okay, yeah,
you know, they're one of the claimants, they're one of the people being cited in the suit. So I just want to say the arrogance. I mean, you know, do you have any feelings on privacy or anything, or?
Yes.
Okay.
I have feelings about it.
You have feelings about it.
Like right now.
Right, right.
But I have several issues with government agencies and private agencies getting over the information, because the screening process for government agencies are a little bit more stringent, and then a private agency you don't know with the contractors or what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that stems from like me working for Con Ed. So. Yeah.
Wow, you work for Con Ed?
I work for Con Ed.
Oh, wow. So they've had huge problems with the city, with people.
Oh,
I mean, So I'm also city of New York, so I have Con Ed. And, I mean, they just changed. You used to have to write, like, a book in the two field on your check when you paid them, because somebody had figured out somewhere, this could be a rumor, this could be untrue, I'm not sure, but someone had figured out somewhere if they named themselves Con Edison, that they could cash the checks that were written to Con Edison and somehow got their hands on them or something. So that was like, it was a Con Edison, Consolidated Edison Company of New York Inc. And you had to write this out in this little tiny field, and it was like, what? But like, it's just, there's tons of things like that. There's all kinds of like little legal loopholes.
Yeah.
Like the water company can remote read their water meters, but Con Ed can't. They have to go on site.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of laws having to do with the power company and stuff. Are you in a technical field there? Or?
I'm a design engineer. So
you're a design engineer.
Yeah.
Wow, is that really exciting?
Yes.
Can you talk about it? I mean, we don't have to talk about the details of that.
Basically, what I do is I work for...
And by the way, if just as a suggestion, I usually say this before the show, and this goes for anyone on the show, you could just... If you want to talk about something that happened at a job, but you don't want to say which job, you'd be like, one time at a job.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and just do
I'm not going to describe my job because it gets into real detail and locations.
Yeah,
and,
don't put anything in.
Yeah,
it's not worth it.
It's not worth it. So,
don't dox yourself.
I'm not going to dox myself.
Yeah.
So basically, I instruct crews and stuff like that on how to fix problems in the grid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're actually coordinating strategy, it sounds like.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, wow, that's great.
And I draw up the plans and everything like that.
What's your education? I know you went to Farmingdale, right?
I went to Farmingdale, yeah.
Yeah.
Computer engineering technology.
Great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. A BS degree. Anyway.
Computer science. I'm a huge fan of computer science.
Yes.
Defend it. Open source, I think, is the best case of computer science, and you know,
yes.
I'm bonkers for it, and I'm ready to fight on it. Nobody wants to fight me, though. They all agree with me, so nobody ever fights me in the show.
No,
I try to be nice. All right,
you want to be nice to fight?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, not fight, argue, right? I just define them, and then I'm like, I want to fight. No, I want to argue.
I want to argue,
but nobody ever argues with me. It's kind of because you know what I think, because all this stuff is so crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, technology is really it's wild, and it's just getting wilder. So
yeah.
Wait till you hear this next one. This is nuts.
Okay.
I'm
reading it.
I just want to watch your reaction. I'm gonna let you read it. So it's right up here.
Okay.
So someone has built a man-made, fully functioning flying saucer. I just saw a video of it, this video of it flying around. So if you see, particularly if you're in Romania, because that's where they built it.
Okay.
But if you see a flying saucer flying around, there is a non-zero possibility now that it is actually not aliens. It is a human being that made that flying saucer, and it is a form of air transportation now. So I don't know if this was the first. I don't know if the flight was manned, but the thing is substantial, so it looks like it could be manned,
okay,
even if it wasn't. So apparently the idea is that they have... they call it a, I put the acronym here, an ADIFO, which is an all-directional flying object. So it's they use the saucer shape, it turns out, is just a case, an infinite case of the wing.
Oh, okay.
Right? So it's actually a functional shape. This is what's weird about this, right? Because we're reading about this stuff,
yeah,
you know, like way before anybody was got something this size to fly. And so what they did is they actually have four channels through the center of the saucer. So it's kind of like a drone in the center,
yeah,
but it also has jets on one side. So it can fly in any direction, but it also has jets in the back, so it can do fast propulsion also and use the drone blades.
Sweet.
Now, here's the crazy thing. So apparently the advantage to this shape is it's immune to sonic booms. So there's no buildup of air, of energy in the air, where you're blocking, where the sound, you know, piles up on top of itself and overruns you.
Overruns you, yeah.
So it seems like a huge advantage if you're trying to build a small craft that's going to be stealthy, which is like one of those things like, you know, cue the X-Files music if we had cued music. it's not a copyright complaint if I say it, is it? So, but crazy, right? I just like, you know, I was like, what? So, yeah, I have a link to it. If anybody's questioning it, it looked legit to me. So I don't think it's CGI. It could be an elaborate CGI prank, but I don't think so. I think someone built a flying saucer.
Okay.
All right, so that's it for the news.
That's hype.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the subs. I know I got a couple new subscriptions. Thank you. I know this sounds like lame, but it can be discouraging doing this, and getting subscriptions actually encourages me to continue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you probably heard it 1,000 times on YouTube, on whatever platform, but it's true. It is absolutely true. When you're like, nobody's watching me, nobody's viewing this, nobody's checking it out, and then you get a subscription, and you're like, yes, someone likes my show! So, yes, please do that. Please tell other people. Please subscribe. I realize don't try to watch the continual effort of all the shows in a row. I mean, you can if you want. Some shows are not going to interest you. That's not how you use this show. This show is, you can drill down into a topic as much as you want and get as, you know, so it's interesting for you. It's a 3-hour show. If you try to watch every show, you love me or you're crazy. So thanks a lot for subscribing and just keep watching the shows. Something that you like will come up. I'm planning a real variety of shows here. So
okay.
If you have any questions, feel free to ask us. Is it okay if people like text you with questions or
if you're watching,
we have a page. We have a live page where you can send us messages.
You can definitely send me.
No. I wasn't trying to dox your phone number. I'm saying if someone has a question.
Yeah, if someone I know has a question or anything like that, yeah, they can definitely.
Right.
Yeah.
So same with me. If you know me, feel free to text me, or you can put something up on the Facebook page, and Steve will pass it along, and we'll try to answer your questions.
Facebook page would actually sound much better.
Yeah. So I'm going to be at this weekend is the. Long, this is on topic.
Yeah.
The Long Island Retro Gaming Con. I don't know if you heard about that, but
I did. I was there last year.
You're going to be there?
Yeah.
I'm going to be there too. So.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Play NYC is happening at the same time.
So you were there last year. Was it awesome?
Yeah, I streamed all the speed runs that were happening on the second floor.
What are the speed runs?
Oh, it was basically a whole bunch of speedrunners coming through to play games really fast.
Oh.
And everybody was, yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, awesome. So that's I'm actually going to be there with Unconventional, which is the new podcast from Icon, and we're going to be doing video work there. We're going to be you know, interviewing people and recording stuff. So I don't know what time it's going to be. I might miss that event. But so, yeah, I'm really excited about it. So if you're into gaming, it isn't just retro gaming. It's some newer stuff, too. So if you're into gaming of any form, whether it's tabletop or electronic, that's your place. So Cradle of Aviation Museum this weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. So you, I noticed, I don't know if you want to announce this on here, but I noticed on your Facebook page for Dynamic Focus that you mentioned that you're going to be in a Women in Tech panel. Do you want to plug that or?
Okay. Yeah, that's where Play NYC, where is a Women in Gaming panel. It's happening. I don't, if you can get the address for Play NYC, that would be cool, but I don't remember it right off my head. It's in Manhattan.
What is Play NYC?
Basically, Play NYC is a gathering of indie developers, and they are, there's like 200 games.
Metropolitan Pavilion in New York, New York. I'm trying to find the address.
So there's 200 indie developers showing off their games, and yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, keep going.
Yes.
That's amazing.
It is. And so you like just walk through there, and there's different types of panels, and creators are talking about what they do, and also different panels about Unity and everything like
so
that.
So this would be like a place where like a venture capitalist and an indie gamer, to up and coming indie gamer, might meet.
Yeah, or anybody that's looking to find work in the gaming industry.
Right.
And they're like, okay, I can't get into a big studio. Here's a smaller studio. Let me pass out my resumes through there.
Yeah. Right. Okay, cool. And is it like something that's friendly for people who are just into gaming and want to check it out, or is it more of a professional conference?
It's not even professional. It's actually very family friendly. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's family friendly. So
it's family friendly.
Are people dressing up like video game characters and stuff?
There are some
LARPing.
People. Yeah, there's LARPing. There's a on Sunday there's a cosplay panel too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. Yeah. What it must be awesome to be on a panel on that. And I didn't even know about it, so
yeah.
That's really great. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for being on the show.
Okay.
I know I said it before, but I want everyone to see them saying it, and I have a specific reason why. You've helped me with my bucket list. I've always wanted to play a video game and say I was doing work, and I can finally do that.
Yes.
So you know, because I've been working in the tech field as an admin forever, and you know, more recently I'm doing this.
Yeah.
And I've just never been able to ever make a legitimate claim when I was playing. When I was goofing around in a game,
yes.
That it was for real,
yes.
And now it's for real. So
and now it's for real.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is that how you feel every day about this?
Ever since Fortnite, yeah, more people have legitimately came up to me for various reasons to try to figure out how their children would make more money from video games.
And ever since Fortnite came out, or
ever since the World Cup was announced, you know.
Oh, when was it announced?
I think the World Cup was announced like in May or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And then the actual cup actually happened in Queens a week or two ago.
Thank you for giving my slacker kid a business model.
I know.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know,
that is the biggest thing that happens to me. Every time I go to a networking meeting or anything like that and I introduce esports to people, the first thing is like, I have a 12-year-old child, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to actually give your child a business model, and it's wild.
Right.
And you're not gonna repeat this to your child.
Right. They are not great odds, right? No. You might be a video game virtuoso, but you're probably not.
Probably.
You just had that 16-year-old kid that won like $3 million from playing.
That's what we're talking about. That's exactly that. That's the one that was announced a few months ago.
Yeah.
So that's the and ESPN covered it.
Yeah.
Yeah, ESPN actually has an esports section of their site. They recognize it as a legitimate sport now.
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So how does that, do you guys want to be part of that? Or, I mean, is it just Fortnite? Or? I don't want to mess with like sponsorships or alliances or anything.
Okay,
I'm probably stepping on your toes. I'm so sorry.
I brought it up, so I might as well just continue on with that. Fortnite is a little bit on the harder side to actually invest in.
Okay.
You would have like a bunch of teen, like people. Well, I wouldn't have teenagers because. Loss. Anyway,
right.
Loss.
I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
I'll come back to that.
But I will have a bunch of people, and the randomness that Fortnite has, like, it's the variables that could actually, because every single time you land in a map, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
The maps stay the same. The drops are different.
So one of the problems is it's procedural generated.
It's the RNG is wild.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's basically you would have a whole bunch of people trying to get that top spot in a random generated game.
Right.
So.
So actually, this is great. I actually had a conversation with Laura, and about talking about a kid that came up with a good strategy. And actually, it makes a lot of sense. The more I think about it, the more excited I get about it.
Yeah.
About Fortnite. So there's so many different ways we could branch off of this.
Yes.
One of the things I want to talk about is game addictiveness. So the way that Fortnite is built, it's a 25-minute game that you play for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Is that an accurate depiction?
I would say that if you're good,
right.
If you're bad and it's 5 minutes, if you're good it's 25 minutes.
Right. right. But I mean, like, what I'm trying to say is the density of the playing field.
Yeah, the density of the playing
field. Like from a kid, from an amateur or an intermediate level experience. You're not getting any experience. You're just running around collecting stuff.
Yeah.
And as the walls close in, and then the last 5 minutes is like this.
Yes.
And so kids get, I think it's incredibly frustrating, but it's also incredibly addictive.
Yeah.
That the way they did that. They did that on purpose, for sure. There's been articles on it and stuff out there. So, I get a little worried that sometimes kids are getting sucked into it. My kids actually wrote it off. They said, I'm not playing Fortnite anymore.
Okay.
Because I talked to them and we discussed it, whether it was fair or not, whether it was a good use of time. And their ultimate conclusion was, no, it's not fair. And they didn't like that aspect of it. Now, it could be someone else. I'm not saying you shouldn't play it. If you like it, go ahead. But, don't sue me, Epic. But, sorry. But so apparently there was a kid, and I don't want to wreck his strategy, but it also takes a lot of intellectual work to make this work.
Yeah.
He would record his sessions, and then you can focus on that last 5 minutes and actually watch your play during the last 5 minutes. And then you can repeat, so you can concentrate, instead of wasting 25 minutes to get 5 minutes of payoff.
Yeah.
You can concentrate on that 5 minutes over and over and over again and get more payoff with less time.
Okay.
So do you guys do that? Do you watch your old video games to review where you went right or where you went wrong and kind of like, strategize? And
yeah, because mostly because of the fact that we are part of fighting games.
Right.
So in the fighting game field, you would watch your tapes and see where you were taking hits, where you were taking damage, where your faults are, and then instead of like concentrating, they would concentrate on like, I keep on getting punched in the face. How am I going to stop being punched in the face, or how am I going to react to being punched in the face? It's
right.
That simple, but that it's the same.
Right. I'm going to block your punches with my face. Right?
Yeah,
it's the block button, dude. It sounds simple, but it's not. Right?
It's not.
Even when I was playing in the Street Fighter 2 days. As a youngin',
yes.
The level of complexity in just a single match. I mean, if you just looked at all the buttons pressed, it would be insane to try to figure out what happened. So, Yeah, I mean, there's got to be a. So you guys do definitely go back over.
We definitely go back to strategy sessions. I watch people's matches. I say, okay, you're basically not. You're basically just getting hit during this sequence. Do you know what to do after that sequence, or can you actually? When I say sequence, it's a combo sequence. Like there's. So
I don't want you to give your secrets away. I want you guys to stay competitive.
The more technical I get into it, the more it's like it starts to sound alien. So that's the reason why I'm.
You can get a little alien. It's fine. We got smart viewers.
But yeah, it's like they would basically just look at the combo sequences that are weak at.
Right.
And then go and say, okay, I'm going to, because now in fighting games you can actually have the practice dummy do that combo sequence against you. And then you can react to it.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't actually played with that.
Yeah, so that's pretty much the next level of getting into fighting games is basically first learning how to move, learning how to block, learning your combo strings, learning, and then afterwards, once you go into tournament, the stuff that you get hit by, learning how to defend against it and learning how to react to it. So
basically
making that combo dummy say, okay, just do this combo and right after that I'm gonna see what my character can do against it.
Do you ever abandon combos? Like, this is just too hard, we can't do this. Is that part of the strategy?
Some of them
leave moves on the table because they're too risky.
Some of them are too risky. Some of them, like, you know, like you definitely know, like, after that I have this, because frame advantages. They'll say, okay, after this string that I do, I'm negative 18, I'm gonna just get blown up right afterwards.
Right.
So they don't do that unless they know the risk of it.
Yeah. Oh, right. Because like it's an unstoppable move, but then I'm vulnerable.
Then I'm vulnerable, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. Well, I guess a well-balanced game is going to have that.
Yes.
I mean, that's why I love playing Team Fortress because, you know, I'm more about first-person shooters, as you can probably tell. But, like, I love playing Team Fortress because I find it, even though it's ancient, because I find it extremely well-balanced.
Yeah.
You know, all the classes have advantages and disadvantages. It really just comes down to skill and strategy.
Yeah.
Are you guys focused more on skill or strategy? Or is it just inherent that people have the skill and that way you can just focus right on the strategy?
Mostly people that I hire already have the skill. It's
nice.
Basically learning the strategy. Because
so that's your purview is deciding who's going to be in the team?
Yeah.
Okay.
Good learning the strategy.
It's your team.
It's my team.
Nice.
Yeah, it's my team.
The power.
The power of governing people. Yay. No.
Yeah, it's really most of the time. It's I'm sorry. I finally, you know, like whenever I'm in charge of something, you know, just trying to like not step on anybody's toes, not make people feel bad. I don't know.
No, I make people feel bad. It's fun. Yeah. No.
Okay, cool. Tell me your secret.
You're gonna make me cry. Just.
Well, no, I think a lot of people who aren't in management or aren't in any kind of leadership position, they really think that. You know, I think people think that, like, oh, you know, my manager's a terrible person. You know, and once you've had, like, a job where you've been in both positions, where you've been the underling and the superior, you know, and you're like, it's not that simple, guys, you know. We got to keep the ship afloat.
Yeah.
I know your arms are tired, but you got to keep rowing.
It's like, it's one of those things where it's just like, when it comes to me, it's a little bit easier because, like, my team likes me because of the fact that I understand how stressful it is to actually compete.
Mm-hmm.
It's, when like, it's nowhere near what it's like, I would even say 3 years ago.
Where
you're just in a little crowded arena and you play your games on the set and then you move on to the next. There are huge high production arenas now.
Right.
And it's stressful to
but that's what it seems
cameras.
Like that's a trend. Like it's only gonna get bigger.
It's gonna get bigger. It's getting bigger and bigger. Like with Evo where it's in the boxing ring, like that boxing arena in the Mandalay Bay.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Evo set.
Is that where you were in Mandalay Bay?
Yeah.
Okay.
And just like it's threatening, and you can't go and expect like anybody with skill to. to be, or even a tactics to actually just go through that. They have to learn how to work through the stress.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's the usual. Personal management being focused and zen and not getting distracted and are your teammates kind of ADD-ish and like the typical stereotype of gamers like what like zoning out and like, or are they really like in the moment and complete with what there's someone isn't there. There's these terrible stereotypes about video games.
Yeah, I mean,
what do you think about those stereotypes?
Most of them. Okay, some of them aren't true. Some of them are true. I mean, like when you said the ADHD with the zoning and all, like mostly during my conversations with my my players, it's basically zoning out.
Right, right.
Like we're all zoning out at the same time. It's horrible.
Pay attention. When she's talking, pay attention.
Pay attention.
She's the boss. The power.
The power. But, but then on top of that, I'm sitting there going like, boop, 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 boop,
boop, boop, boop. Right. Oh, you're doing it too.
I'm doing it too.
I'd get mad at you if I wasn't doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Nice. Me too. Me too. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I think it's a great, I think ADD is nature's bullshit detector.
Yes.
Because if it goes off, you're like, I'm bored. This is stupid.
Yes.
I'm going to do something else. And you're gone. Everyone's like, wow, that guy wasn't paying attention. Yeah, because what you were doing was stupid.
Stupid. It was boring. Yeah, it was boring and stupid. Yeah.
And all right, you agree.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. So what did you think of Mandalay Bay? Was it, I went on a cross-country trip last year, and we stayed there. So but we did it because it had an RV park and a lazy river.
Yeah.
So what did you think? Was it the best place to be on this trip? Was it not your first choice?
I mean, I was staying in the Luxor.
So. Oh, you say, okay.
Yeah, I stayed in Luxor.
So. Yeah. Oh, that's next door, isn't it?
It's next door, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you can just walk through the interior.
Yeah, because, you know, it's cheaper.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't, it was off season, so it was the summer when we were there, so.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't an event, so.
Yeah,
we got it cheap.
Yeah.
What do you think of Vegas? Have you been to Vegas a lot, or?
I like Vegas. I love Vegas. I just like, you know, going there on a business trip is not the...
Right.
Yeah.
You can't get it. You can't get in the zone with all the drunk people walking around.
No, I can't
yelling
do that.
At each other.
Yelling at each other.
Yeah.
We had to stay focused for most of the time. Mostly doing filming and photo shoots and interviews, and then on top of that, they're competing at the
same
time.
Sounds like show business.
It's definitely show business. We're trying to do marketing sponsorship and stuff like that.
This stuff people don't realize. Oh, yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Yes!
Coffee! Yeah, I mean, people don't realize this stuff is a lot of work.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of work to run a show. It's a lot of work. This can easily consume 2-3 days a week just doing one show a week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and people are like, oh, that'll be fun, and like, not really, especially like, I don't have, you know, I have these papers in front of me, I try to avoid looking at them, but I don't have a producer whispering in my ear like a multi-million dollar show.
Yeah.
I could get stuck, I could just get, you know, derailed and not know what to say, or not have my facts straight and get it wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
If I do that, sorry. You can always say something in the comments and be like, dude, you're wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So, have you been to Vegas for fun?
No.
No. Just work, huh?
Yeah, just work.
Just work. Yeah. How about California? Is there shows in California or?
Yeah, there's stuff in California. I have not been to a tournament.
No, it's work. Thanks. That was the right choice. Give her first because look at me. I mean, I just can't shut up. Thank you.
I actually have not been to a tournament in the West Coast, other than Evo.
Okay. So is Evo your main go-to tournament?
Yeah, for me.
Is that the only one, or is there others?
There's lots of tournaments. There's Combo Breaker CEO. There's North California Regionals, South California Regionals. There's the Philly events, which is Big E Gaming, which is NEC, Winter Brawl.
Interesting.
April Annihilation. Yeah, there's a lot.
There's chaos.
And then there's like...
I see opportunity there.
Yes.
that sounds like total chaos to me.
Yes, it's total
chaos. I guess Evo saw the same thing and we're like, let's throw some money at this.
I mean, Evo has been doing it for a very long time.
Okay. So they're not just a Johnny Come Lately.
No. This
I actually don't know where that phrase comes from, so I should probably not use it.
Johnny Come Lately.
What does that mean? Like, I'll ask him when he comes back.
Okay.
Yeah, once in a while you'll bump into an idiom and you go, "What's that? More than one way to skin a cat?" That was pretty funny when we looked that one up. So, apparently it's literal. So I didn't even understand its origin still, even after he explained it. So I stopped using it. okay, so that's kind of cool. So I had an experience. My kids were into Minecraft, like, big time.
Okay.
And I've run Minecraft servers at home, and a friend of mine runs Minecraft servers, and we have our own family one, and, you know, lots of mods and playing around with, and, you know, they're getting pretty advanced. Like, my son just figured out how to bail his... he lost a Minecraft. He beat Minecraft.
Okay.
He actually beat it on. He beat the Ender Dragon, and then he lost his board. He actually figured out how to go into the files. He found the editor and he found instructions. He doesn't even remember how he did it. It was complicated. I saw part of the process,
okay.
And he actually went in and was able to get recover a lost board.
Okay.
Because what had happened, it looks like there was a glitch because the computer shut off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't properly shut down.
Oh.
And the seed changed. And the seed basically, so all the way the Minecraft works is it procedurally generates the world.
Yeah.
And then it just keeps track of the blocks that have been changed.
Yeah.
So all the blocks that have been changed didn't apply to this new seed, but they were still there. So he was able to figure. He told me this. I'm like, you're screwed. He said, "No, I'm not screwed." And he kept looking it up. And he figured it out.
Okay.
So yeah, I think we got a little hacker on his. But anyway, so they were like really into Minecraft, and so a few years ago they were in Super League, which is just a recreational.
Yeah.
A recreational league, but it was lots of fun, and I ended up being kind of an impromptu coach for them. Like I was their ride, and I'm sitting there, and they're like, "Can you help me? My Java version's no good, or my 3D's not working," and it just turns into I ended up like I'm like, maybe if you hit him over there, that would work better. And I'm like, you need to go over there. And the next thing you know, I'm the coach. Is that how this started? Was it organic like that, or was it a plan? Like, how did you get, what was it? I mean, okay, you're sitting there playing Mortal Kombat, and you're like, this is great. And now you're running a video game team. How'd you get from here to there?
Okay, so...
What's the story?
The story is that I basically, I used to, do tournaments in college, and just, set them up for Icon.
Mm-hmm.
And
Icon!
Yeah.
Great!
I was Icon video game girl for a bit. So...
Nice.
Yes.
So Icon is it's been around since the 70s, and a convention for science fiction.
Ooh.
Back before science fiction conventions were big money.
Yes.
Yeah, and they used to meet at Stony Brook. I'm actually still they're still looking to reform. We're working on the business part of it, but continue.
Yeah. So basically, after that, I left and I started my job, and all of a sudden, my best friend was like, "Oh, there's actually meetups in New York City for video games." So I was like, okay, for adults? Like, yeah, it's in a bar and everything. So we just went there. And I got to learn about the tournament scene, the actual tournament scene, the majors, so we used to travel out and go to different majors.
Mm-hmm.
I met up with another team and I used to work for them. So after a while, we split up. And I was like, one of the team members said I can just do it. I can work it. I had my own branding. I knew what models I had to do.
People knew who you were.
Knew who I was. I used to do photography for it. And I used to shoot in dynamic focus.
Now I see where that comes from.
And then I used a hawk as the for focus, for sight and everything like that. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so actually the this is lame. I'm so nerdy. I'm ashamed I'm going to do this, but I have to do it anyway. So I think it's a peregrine hawk. It's native to New York and is the fastest bird. It can actually, its dive speed is faster than any other bird. Yeah, it's actually, that's the hawk you see around here.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and it's actually so there you go.
Nick,
if you need to change your logo, you know which hawk.
I know, I can use that hawk reference.
I've actually seen one catch. I was on the Long Island Railroad, and we were by water, and I actually saw one dive into the water and catch a fish and fly out of the water with it.
Cool!
It was freaking awesome. I was I'm on my way to work. What the heck? What did that just happen? Yeah, there is wildlife in Queens, by the way.
There is.
Yeah.
Red-tailed hawks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I experienced them perching on people's cars next to the McDonald's by the 179th Street station. So it's like,
I saw a skunk in front of my house once.
Damn.
Yeah, yeah, it was totally terrifying. I was about to bring the garbage out. I saw it before it saw me, so it was fine.
It was fine.
That's how you want to see skunks. You want to see them before
they see you.
I'm like, we have skunks here?
Yeah.
I smell skunks a lot, but it's usually not skunks. But that time it was actually a skunk.
I've seen them in the Bronx, and I've never seen them in Queens before. That's right. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So we have possums, we have skunks, and it we're kind of making a bet. My wife and I have been running a bet about when the first time we see a deer is, because the wildlife is slowly getting more pervasive.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because people are hunting less and they're being more picky about when they can. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
All right, I don't know how we got into that. Sorry, that was completely my fault. No, I nerded it out.
You nerded out. You talked about hawks.
Yeah, yes, yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were telling me your origin story.
Yeah, my origin story with and I told you about Weird Dynamic. The name came from
Did you apply to Evo to get the or was there another more steps in there? Or did you go to Evo and say, hey, we want to compete?
No. Okay. So when it comes to fighting games, it's the barrier to entry is actually almost zero to none. The people who are spectating are actually in the tournament.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the people are. So, to you can look up what tournament you want to go to. Mm-hmm. You just pay the entry fee and you just show up.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what the entry fee is just administrative stuff and keeping track of who's
venue and stuff like that.
Okay.
Through Smash GGs.
Now, is it physically, everyone has to physically be there though, right?
You have to physically be there.
Right, contribute through the internet or?
No, you can't. Well, there are online tournaments.
There are online tournaments.
Yes.
But you guys aren't that, you're doing the physical tournaments.
We're doing the physical tournaments and online tournaments.
Both.
Yeah, we're doing both.
Okay. How do they differ? I mean, is there security risks with the online stuff?
Online tournaments is the best because there's people with potato and internet joining in the tournaments, and you're just my God.
Like 500 ping.
Yeah.
Like, why are you here?
Why are you here?
You're ruining it for everyone. You're a bad person.
It's just you have one of clips on Twitch with my one of my players, he's in an online tournament, and he's like, oh my God, this Sub-Zero is going to mix me in 300 ping.
Nice.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, like look at if you're playing any video game online, look at your ping. If it's over 100, no one likes you.
No one likes you at all. There's memes with Sub-Zero, and everybody's like, it's like, will this tournament have Wi-Fi included? And then you see a guy like, I hope so. And all the Sub-Zeros are clapping in the background.
Nice. That's awesome.
It is hilarious.
Now I'll know what that means when I see it.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes I look at memes, I'm like, what? I don't get it.
Yeah.
And I know it's probably funny, but I'm just missing it. Cool. So you're online and you're competing that way and you're showing up at tournaments.
Yes.
Which one do you do more often? I mean, I guess probably the online because you could do it any time.
Thanks, man.
You're a machine.
Yeah, we actually do a lot more. I'm good. We do a lot more offline tournaments because.
Oh really?
Yes.
That is not the answer I expected.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because a lot of times we go to like online is just a wacky source of crazy ping, and that's what's going on with it. So
it's just opportunities for randomness.
It's opportunities for randomness, and you can see people just like see some of my team members just like lose it.
Right.
And,
well, yeah. I mean, I guess if the match isn't fair, it's got to be insanely frustrating and oh, yeah, setting off people's bullshit detectors, so to speak.
Oh yeah, it does. It does.
Oh, cheers.
Oh, cheers.
Would you like some wine? We got Chardonnay. We got white, and we got.
You'll finish this coffee first, and then I'll do that.
We'll switch them. We will switch.
We'll start to decaffeinate.
Sounds good. Okay. Yeah. The only thing, so fortunately, I don't think there's enough booze. Well, I don't know how much sake, I don't know how potent sake is, but there's not enough wine to get me drunk. I actually had a doctor on here, and the dude drank a half a bottle of wine, and I tried to follow along with him, and I was like, we have to wait. I can't leave. I had to wait until I was sober. Or,
yeah.
To go like, home.
Geez.
Fortunately, Steve was accommodating. When I. Look, and flexible.
Apparently, that should have been on camera.
We need more cameras in here, really. I mean, the stuff that happens in this room is insane.
I was like, okay.
Nice.
Nice.
So you guys are mostly like to prefer to be in person because there's less variables.
Less chaotic.
Let's say your computer scientist is coming out and saying, no, we're not going to lose because of some randomness.
Yeah.
Because of people in North Korea or something.
No, it's usually Mexico.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay.
It's like
Mexico. You're gaming.
I mean, look, it's also accessibility to the internet. Like, a lot of people from different backgrounds are trying to play. They're trying to get into the esports thing. And,
right.
You know, and online, it's difficult because of the ping, because of everything is very sensitive to frame rates and
right.
stuff like that. So you'll see that... I can go into it a little bit more differently, but when it comes to diversity in competitors,
mm-hmm.
the less likely that your game needs internet,
mm-hmm.
the more diverse the players are.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I found that correlate. I want to actually do that correlation study because
that's
it
radical.
Seems like it seems that's the case because you have a lot of really good players and they don't get to travel or anything like that or they'll go online and stuff like that to try to compete. But when a game actually requires no internet, like for fighting games, you don't want to be in. Frame rates are very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course.
Yeah, they're very important. So you have more people from different countries.
As an anti-lag measure.
Anti-lag measure, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I know I had a story. I hope you're not mad at me. So Louisa asked me to bring this up. So you can stop me if you think this is inappropriate. But
okay.
Apparently there was an incident with you at Farmingdale having to do with lag and speed on their network. You want to tell me about that, or
which one?
Apparently, you got into some kind of trouble because you were trying to improve your internet speed, or throttle, or you know, prioritize your internet speed. I guess you don't remember. Okay,
I don't remember.
Yeah, apparently there was some sort of you got in trouble with them for, or you like. So I have a. Let me tell you a story about. I have a friend who will remain nameless.
Okay.
At Farmingdale, we both went to Farmingdale okay. University, so we didn't know each other. We went at different times.
Same here.
Yep, same here. All three people in the room have gone to Farmingdale University.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of mine actually used ARPcache. Was it ARPcache poisoning or was it? I think it was ARPcache poisoning to reprogram the switches there. In a benign way, there was a problem where they were misrouting something, and I don't remember the details, but it was technically completely illegal. But he did it. To legitimately try to fix servers in one of the buildings. I mean, some of the buildings will have servers and stuff there. You know, they have a lot of small data centers. It's a college campus.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So. And so, like, on the one hand, technically it was against the rules, but on the other hand, you know, their network's a bit of a mess. So
yeah, the network was a bit of a mess. I'm like, when I first went in there, like everything was dial-up.
Right.
Yeah, and then afterwards, I'm like, can you put a TI?
Were you in the dorms there, or
I was in the dorms.
Oh, okay. So yeah. The dorms were dial-up.
The dials.
I can't believe the dorms are still dial-up.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. They had really fast internet on the campus.
Yeah.
And they doing dial-up in the dorms.
In the dorms, like.
Just like a hobo. To put it in perspective, this is definitely man range, right?
Like, yeah.
This is not. You can just run a dark fiber from one building to the next. They even had the catacombs between most of the buildings from the fallout shelter days.
Yes.
It was very easy to do.
Yes.
They just didn't give a damn, did they?
No, they didn't.
It must have drove you nuts.
See, that's the reason why I think that's where the trouble came from.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, vehemently just, like, running around like a crazy person going, I need internet.
I need internet. I must run to internet.
I must run to internet. Yes.
I have arrived at internet. I must leave internet.
That's not how it's supposed to work. I was in the computer labs all the time trying to do all my work.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there going like, I am going to lose my mind. I'm on dial-up all the time. And then they finally put the T1 connection in.
You made
the
that
doors.
Rhyme.
I know, I did.
That was awesome.
I'm like that.
Nice.
I'm magical like that.
Zen.
That's why I was like. What?
You're like a guru.
Yes.
You are a guru.
No, but the thing is when you said that, I was like, wait, Farmingdale trouble with it. It's like, is it the times when I just started yelling about the dial-up connections?
I don't know.
It's probably me.
This is the problem with, you know, I usually don't do that. I usually don't bring a source in and like a story. I just try to get you to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's why I don't do that, because I'm not sure what that was about. So
no, it was me, and it was me, and it just being like the
going crazy about the dial-up and having to run back and forth between the buildings.
And I would just like sit there and just scream about it.
Yeah,
so I was just so upset.
I probably would have been Pringles canning it. You know, were you ever tempted to do that? Like, just like, you know, set up your own router with a Pringles can, aim it at the dorms so you can steal it. If I could just get a Wi-Fi bridge.
I know. And when they finally got a Wi-Fi bridge, I was like, oh my God, thank God. Because I also did tutoring online too.
Right.
Math tutoring online, and I needed the money for work.
Tutored in math, so you have experience teaching.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you're used to being the leader and the purveyor of wisdom.
And the purveyor, mostly the purveyor of wisdom, unfortunately.
Well, the best wisdom is, you know, found, not pervade. So,
yeah, I know.
You know, but that's not your fault. You're trying to, you can lead someone to the right idea, but you can't always, you know, lay it out for them.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you about addiction, and specifically algorithmic addiction.
Okay.
So where do you, you know, like this, social media companies have almost flat out said in public in various times, you know, different ones have said, and several games like Epic, like on Fortnite and Epic, have said that the goal is to try to literally get people addicted to their program, you know. What do you think about that? You know, when is it a problem? Who's it a problem for? When is it a problem? You know, do you see a time
like,
where that's...
It becomes a problem when you have, like, a company actually going up in front of their stockholders and calling their customers whales.
What?
Yeah.
Who do they call a whale? Who called you a whale?
Okay.
I don't actually know what you're talking about, so.
Okay. So, this company will remain nameless, but it's mobile.
Oh, they'll
mobile
figure it out.
They'll figure it out. They literally went and said the amount of whales they had. And what a whale was a customer that bought over $1,000 worth of e-commerce through their platform.
Oh, right.
So they call them whales.
So interesting. So it's almost like the e-currency is the vehicle of destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I know Second Life and MMORPGs have a lot of that.
But it wasn't even. It was the company I'm talking about is actually a mobile game.
Oh, okay.
Which you don't need. You don't need to spend $1,000 worth of anything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No.
And that's crazy. And you know, I mean, I like the model where the game is free, and you can maybe buy some swag.
Yeah.
But you know, like people get really addicted to it. It's crazy. Like the amount of money that people are. I mean, it happens. My kids play Roblox. You know, and Roblox is like some of those games, man. The gotchas. I mean, we had to warn. You know, they can't buy anything without going through us. You know, not talking about the in-game virtual currency.
Yeah.
Which is also maybe a problem because if you spend so many hours doing toil to get game currency so you can buy things in game, is that really better than just spending a dollar?
Yeah.
You know, and so you convert it to video game currency and actually get to the meat of the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I just. I don't know where. I'm not sure how to draw the line. I was wondering if you had any ideas or when do you know, like, okay, we're in trouble here. You know, I have to stop.
Yeah, there.
I mean, obviously $1,000, right?
$1,000.
That's too much.
That's a lot. They're changing I'm trying to loot boxing. They're changing the algorithms for loot boxing right now. They're also warning customers of the rarities of each loot box that they pay for.
Right.
So that's another thing where
Printing real odds.
Yeah,
you know what? There's really no regulation on that.
There was no regulation. Now
if you have a state lottery, you have to say what the odds are. You don't have to say what the odds are with your loot box.
No, you don't have to say the odds on the loot box, and you're selling these loot boxes to kids who want.
This is a math teacher. People, listen.
You're selling these loot boxes to kids, and they want to get a certain skin for their. For the character that they like to play, and they could only get this particular skin through a loot box, and so they're paying the company actual money and some of their in-game currency that they actually earned just to get a box that's probably not going to deliver on their promises.
Right.
So that's where the addictive properties for loot boxing comes from.
Right.
And that's.
It's one of the ways to kind of deflect the blame.
Yeah.
But really, it's just counting on people, you know, people using their intuition and saying, I feel lucky today, instead of looking at the odds and going, yeah, this is 286-1.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna. If I spend a dollar each time, I'm out $300 for what I'm getting at. Yes. I might not even have it at the end.
So that was.
I've also noticed there's definitely a game in Roblox. I don't remember the name of it, so I'm not protecting them, but I just can't remember the name.
Yeah.
But Roblox is a framework. If you don't know what Roblox is, it's kind of like a framework where you can build. Anybody can build a game, and then people will build games, and sometimes they'll make loot as part of their games. And so this particular game had loot boxes, and they were, and they would you would go in. And they would tell you the odds, but they'd always make the odds a little bit better than what they actually told you. They'd lie about the odds, but actually make it so you'd feel lucky. Like see the odds are 1 in 10, and then in 1 in 2 or 1 in 5, you get it every time. And you're like, I must be lucky. But it's just another hook.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes they even lie in the odds in your favor. You know, they'll lie in your in on the odds against your favor, so you feel lucky, but you're really not. It's just another scam.
Yeah.
So, it really bothers me, and I think it's going to do a lot of... I mean, it seems like, oh, that's just kid stuff right now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, we're talking about... I mean, the whole push for 5G, the only justification that I got... for the push for 5G phones, you know, in that kind of level of network speed, you can do everything on 4G right now. There's nothing that you need 5G for.
Yes.
Unless we go augmented reality. And then you start getting into Black Mirror stuff with augmented reality and, like, literal loot boxes in augmented reality.
Yes.
I mean, you're going to see people, I mean, you know, like imagine this is the motion, right? You're just going to see people in public doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, what is that guy doing? Like, someone would come from the 1800s and be like, they're all crazy. You know? And really, they're all addicted. That's what I can envision a dystopia where everyone's addicted.
So that's the reason why, like,
just
the regulations for the regulations for loot boxing is on the table right now. So
right,
it's getting there. So
okay, is that New York State? Is that federal? Is that where
it's
that is?
Federal and international, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes we blow it. So I'm sometimes international law saves us. Cool. Awesome. So, wow, you really did have some ideas about that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I asked. So, speaking of which, of course, this you can't talk about loot boxes without talking about kids because they're the most gullible.
Yeah.
Inherently.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Innocence is always the most gullible, so...
Yes,
laugh with me.
Okay.
Very good, very good.
Good.
All right, so, yes, we always laugh on the Technocrat Live.
Of course.
So, you're telling me the kids, you don't have, won't have kids on your team?
Yeah.
What, do you hate kids? What's going on with that? You hate them?
No.
They smell funny? They smell like cheese?
They smell like cheese.
The little ones who smell like cheese.
And then they pick their boogers.
Oh!
They're gross.
Yeah, they are gross. They have, no. They have weird stains on their face and their shirts.
Shirts, yeah. Yeah. No.
Dirty children. Dirty, dirty children.
No, the reason why is esports has not caught up to child labor laws.
Oh. So, are any of the esports allowing? I mean, obviously, this kid was a teenager who won the Fortnite championship.
Yeah.
So they're allowing them. What are they doing differently? Are they? Do they just have a bigger team of lawyers? Is that what it is, or?
I mean.
Or they just don't care. They're like, screw it. Let's take some chances. We got millions.
That's what a lot of people are doing right now. They're taking chances with child labor, like. My core team, they do. I require them for the content creators to do 10 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
For pro gamers, I know for a fact that most of the pro gamers that I have on my team do 20 to 40 hours a week in training.
Mm-hmm.
New York child labor law: after 20 hours, they shouldn't be working anymore.
Mm-hmm. They're done.
They're done.
Right.
Right. How do I regulate that?
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. And
well, so this is something that's coming up with UBI, too. You know, where, like, you know, this is something where people think, you know, we're talking about the universal basic income and the algorithmic apocalypse and everyone's going to be out of work.
Oh.
We may all be video gamers soon.
Pretty much.
You're going to have a lot more recruits. you know, like, there's the idea is that, of course, you know, we get more Stop and Shop robots, not just looking for spills, but eventually slicing meat and, you know, and like driving trucks. And next thing you know, none of us have a job and everybody's out of luck. And, you know, so it really has to do with a labor glut. I don't want to get too far into that, but the real question is, when you're the labor glut is leads to the next logical thing, which is, okay, what is full time? Really, it's currently 40 hours a week.
40 hours.
You know, but like in Europe, it's less, so it doesn't have to be 40 hours.
Yeah.
And originally, it was like 80 hours a week or something, and then there were the Garmin District fires and disasters.
Yeah.
And then there was a call for change and a change, and it changed to 40. We could change it again to make the work week smaller, or we could do something like UBI where we give people checks to compensate them. I would rather have the time, I think, than the money. But you know. Everybody's different. Everybody needs something different.
Mm.
But lots of people are in debt. I mean, most people are, you know, up to here, and every, you know, they live from paycheck to paycheck, and they're trying to survive. And so, what is full time, and what is part time?
Yeah.
And when you're in like this is almost like a white collar job. I'm getting to a point.
Okay.
Which is this is like kind of like a white collar job, right? To me. It seems like this isn't, I mean, yeah, you're sure you're twitching a lot on a controller or whatnot or on a keyboard, but it's, I don't have an answer, I'm sorry.
I'll just do it. Continue.
Okay, yeah. So I, you know, I don't know who, when you're in a white collar job, you never really stop working.
Yeah.
Right? You'll be home and you'll wake up in the morning and you go, I've solved the problem.
Right.
Right. So, and that's kind of how it is, you know, I mean, for me, getting better at a video game, like, I just started playing, I didn't think I'd be using this example for this, but I just started playing Rocket League.
Okay.
Great game.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, I'm out of touch.
It's a really good game, but it's exhausting.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I played it for 2 hours and I was completely addicted. It was really, I was really hooked.
Yeah.
So I just started playing Rocket League and then, like, I just sucked. I went to sleep, I woke up the next day, I'm better. So, right? Like, right. I dreamt on it. I fixed the problems in my head, and then I went back. So, I treated it like a white-collar job.
Yeah.
Right? You never really stop thinking about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on the one hand, you don't want to take up every minute of every kid's time because they need to learn. They're learning. They're growing.
Growing. And it's
but at the same time, it's like, yeah, okay, is that the standard for adults, too? You know, it doesn't really matter whether you're full-time or part-time because if you're in a white-collar job, you're just going to give it your all the time anyway.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah. If you're reporting to another agency,
right.
then there's an issue. Like if
right, so kid, aside from ethics, the laws.
The laws, yeah. Like if this kid was going and doing Twitch on his own, his or her own,
right.
It's... their prerogative.
Right.
They're actually doing the work for themselves, and they're reporting for themselves. They're doing their own accounting, probably. Like, I'm gonna tell you, some of these kids on Twitch are they're way ahead of the game when it comes to small business. But
right. Well, Twitch is totally focused on gaming right now.
Focused on gaming, and there's Live AF, and there's Mixer and everything like that.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, Mixer? Mixer is another platform that's competing with Twitch.
Oh, okay.
But the biggest thing is that Ninja is now on Mixer. One of the biggest.
Just like one of the big stars moves over.
Yeah, he moves on to Mixer. Yeah. But
like when what's his name went to DLive, the big one. The biggest gamer broadcaster on YouTube,
PewDiePie. Yeah.
Yeah, he went over to DLive, and DLive went, and then promptly went down because he couldn't even handle the traffic.
Yeah.
He actually went to Mixer first, and then he quit Mixer and went to DLive.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because Mixer's owned by Microsoft.
Ah, okay.
Is it still owned by Microsoft?
Pretty actually? Sure it is, okay.
Because some of the Mixer studios have closed down, so I want to know if that actually is true.
Yeah, I think it's still owned by Microsoft.
Okay, all right.
All I got to say to that is Zune. Microsoft will shut that down if it ain't making money. Good luck. Bye-bye.
No, Mixer is definitely making money. So it's totally different. So I'm an entity, like, you know, I'll be an entity that the kids are reporting to. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure that they stay within the certain guidelines and stuff like that for,
right.
For labor. Right. And there have been teams that actually got into trouble because there would be a streamer they got in trouble for a streamer that was very underage, and they apparently did a lot of hours on Twitch.
They crossed the line.
They crossed the line.
Wow.
And they were caught. So that team got in trouble for it.
Well, you know, kind of, I could see it, you know,
yeah.
Because I mean, especially because of what we were saying before, I mean, people don't, this is an iceberg, you know,
yeah.
People might seem, you know, this is an especially long show, but even then, you see the 3 hours in the show, you know, there's 20 hours behind it. So if they're putting 20, if a kid is putting 30 hours on Twitch, my God, what are they doing behind the scenes?
Yeah, I know.
It's like dawn to dusk.
Yeah.
They never stop. So, you know, yeah, I could see why that would be a problem. But at the same time, you want kids to be able to participate, too.
Yeah, you want kids to participate. It's just...
What should the law say? If you could just, like, you know, you're not saying this is what the law is. You know the difference between what the law is and what it should be. But what do you think the law should be? What's fair to give, you know... I mean, of course, every parent has to be able to say for their own kid.
Yeah.
Right? So, but let's say the parent gives permission, and what do you think is a reasonable standard for how much time they can put into it?
Because it depends on what each... Because everybody has a different need.
Mm-hmm.
Some people need to actually do full practice. Some people have to do studying and stuff like that when it comes to their practice and play. Some people have to actually broadcast. So, like, it's a difficult thing. I literally tell people that it's actually truly difficult to actually find hours to actually become a pro gamer at a young age.
Right.
It literally is actually an adult thing to do. Even though you had somebody 16.
Right. Okay. No, that's a fair answer, too.
Yeah. So it's like, even though you had somebody, like, 16-year-old, like, earning $3 million, like,
right,
in Fortnite, and most of the people...
Bad precedent.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I kind of agree. I tend to think... I was kind of undecided about it, but I see where you're going with this. I think I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to, you know, like, it's fun when it's... I'm not saying that kids shouldn't be allowed to, like, play championship versions of the games they normally play.
No.
But when you start getting money involved, you know, it can get...
It gets complicated.
Also, parents can get greedy. I mean,
yes,
parents aren't always good.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they're, you know, showbiz is rough for kids. And I'm not saying we can never have a kid in a movie again. But at the same time, you know...
It's rough for kids, like...
It's hard to say where the line is.
Yeah. Because you're going... Now it's a show business thing or any kind of... You know, where you have child labor, where you see, like, a kid just going through a grueling schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And with programming, it's a grueling schedule.
Right.
I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to say, oh, it's easy. It's like, people grind a lot in these games to actually become a professional gamer.
Right.
You know, so, you have to train your muscle and your hand-eye coordination to actually be able to keep up with people.
So if you had a magical lawyer fairy that came in and went... I know there's no magical lawyer
fairies.
Your face. Right? But came in and went... You are indemnified, right?
Yeah.
I can create a legal structure that I am 100% sure is safe and you'll never be at risk. That for this child to participate, would that satisfy it, or is it personal and you think that this is just a bad idea in general?
I don't think, like, this is because it's difficult. Because
right.
I'm not gonna say that it's the easiest thing and that everything should be solved
nice
in the same way.
Yeah,
there's no way that this is like a textbook answer for anybody.
I didn't want to like go push this too hard, but I just, because I'm sure this is gonna be kids watching this and they're gonna be like, I want to get into gaming and I want to make money. I want to tell my mom, this is my job.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
No, yeah, you can't.
That's what kids really want.
That's what kids really want. But at the same time, it's one of those things where like some kids mature in different ways and ages and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
If your kid is business savvy really early, then I would say go for it.
Right.
But if they're not, it's grueling. It's
right.
It's not easy. And
I'm asking for myself too, because one of the ideas is we were floating around the idea about the possibility of me doing stuff with kids.
Yeah.
Like doing a kid, more kid oriented kind of podcast.
Yeah.
And actually, I did an experiment with my kids. You know, so because that's the easiest way.
Yeah,
my own kids. I'm the dad. I make the rules.
Yes.
So we built the computer together. It was totally grueling. We were at it for 8 hours. You know, because they weren't in it for 8 hours. They were in it for like 6 hours or 5 hours.
Yeah.
And I gave them a lot of freedom to not have to pay attention the whole time.
Yeah.
But like, all the setup and the breakdown and everything, and I could see if it was a set where it wasn't my family and my home.
Yeah.
It could have been really bad. It could have been like they could have blown their work week right there on that one show.
So yeah.
So like, I'm trying to figure out, but at the same time, you know, I don't really like this. You know, you see a lot of podcasters, and they're out there like adult podcasters, and they're acting like children. And sometimes, not tongue-in-cheek, like, I'm not talking comedy, I'm talking, like, they're literally acting like 8-year-olds, or 10-year-olds, or 12-year-olds, and I mean, I warned my kids from the start, I'm like, that adult is faking, they don't really talk like that,
they
don't really think like that, do not imitate them, do not pay attention to what they say, they can entertain you. But I think a lot of parents are not doing that. They're not telling.
No.
And I don't want to be responsible for that. I don't want kids to be I know how to act like I'm 12.
Yeah.
Or just act like Jim Carrey, right?
Yeah.
He's a perpetual 10-year-old, right? And then poof, you know, you're a 10-year-old and you have a million hit podcast.
Yeah.
But it's not ethical, I don't think. Or at least it's shady enough that I don't want to go there.
Yeah, we currently have a problem with YouTube with where we have shows that are disguised as stuff for children, but they're not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Well, you know what?
There's videos of like of people dressed up as like Spider-Man running around slapping each other's butts. And stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a couple of different problems. So one is that where they're just literally acting in a quasi-sexual fashion, you know,
yeah,
a sexually ambiguous fashion, which could be conceived. The kid might see it as innocent, but you know, an adult who knows anything about psychology would be like, that's grooming.
Yes.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And on the other hand, you also have these automated videos where they're like cartoons or they're putting clips of different videos together to try to react to keywords of whatever the buzz is right now, whatever the trend is, and it's crazy, man. The stuff that
which is kid oriented, where it's like his demographic are 9-year-olds, essentially 9 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
But he like he says, oh, buy this merch. Right? He has like 10 merch placements within one video, like 3 minutes long, and they can't afford it, so they run to the parents.
Yes.
So I'm not saying I wouldn't work with kids and I wouldn't make a show for kids, but I can't act like a kid.
Yeah.
I can talk to them in a way that maybe they will understand my, you know, like sometimes people like they see a kid and their voice goes up an octave.
Yeah.
That's a straight up psychology. That's normal.
Yeah.
Right? Like kids respond to that. But I never could do it acting like a kid. And I don't understand how I feel like there needs to be people out there making videos for kids where adults are not pretending to be kids.
Yeah.
It's going to screw kids up. They have to know that this is like, oh, it's, cool, I can act like this forever. That's the message.
That's the message you're sending to kids. Like, no, you can't act like this forever.
Yeah. You can't act. You can't never grow from 10.
Yeah.
You know?
That's you need to grow.
Right. You know. I mean. Yeah. I mean, sure. You know, there's very very rare niches. Where you know, I mean, you know, I'm not picking on I'm not, like Dumb and Dumber was brilliant, right?
Yeah.
You know, he needed to be both of them needed to be act like children for that movie to work.
For that movie, yeah.
But it's just a movie, and then it's over, and then your life goes on.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you're saying Dumb and Dumber, so
right.
Kids don't want to be dumb.
Right.
Yeah.
Kids aren't dumb, and
kids
actually,
dumb.
You know, a lot when we were younger, or at least when I was younger, a lot of cartoons and kids shows talk down to you.
Yeah.
And now I think that, you know, we know from psychology that that's kind of not the right idea.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch the Upside Down show?
No.
So the Upside Down show was a thing that only ran for 2 seasons, and it was these two brothers that would do like this kind of like vaudeville slapstick.
Okay.
And it was for kids, and actually it was really brilliant. It was a lot of fun. They would use their imaginations for the show, and of course you're nervous whenever there's a new kid show, right?
Yeah.
But it was on public television. I'm like, all right, we'll give it a shot. It was really funny. It was a lot of fun.
Okay.
And the premise of their show was kids aren't stupid. They're just inexperienced.
Yes.
I mean, they said that. That is, and I was like, I mean, never truer words have been. I mean, when I heard that, rang in my ears. I'm like, yes, that's what Mr. Rogers did right.
Yes, Mr. Rogers.
That's what Sesame Street did right in the old days, and they did it right too.
Yeah.
And you know, and I just, kids aren't stupid. They just need somebody to teach them how to answer a phone.
Yes.
Right? You know, like, it only takes 30 seconds, but someone has to actually tell you that at some point.
Yeah, because you're actually brand new to the world.
Right.
Yeah, as a kid, you're just brand new and you're experiencing everything.
Yeah, anyway, I'm sorry, I don't know how I got off on that tangent. But
yeah, it was the YouTube thing.
Yeah, it's a YouTube thing, but
and
I don't know, I mean, is there an answer? Is there like a guiding light here for how to act or how to deal with this? How to get kids out of, should everybody be up in arms about this kid who's obviously got lots of skill and won in Fortnite,
yeah,
but at the same time, it's like,
I don't think you should be up in arms with this kid. This kid, like, a lot of these kids just earned life-changing amounts of money.
Well, $3 million is
life-changing.
Yeah.
It's fair. I'm not gonna say it's not fair.
Right.
It's fair. They took the challenges. They played a game that made that much money, and they are in an arena where like all that commercialism is actually happening. They deserve a piece of that prize.
Right.
You know. I mean.
Well, I will say in the computer space, of all the things in the computer space, it seems like video games are actually the most consistent.
Yeah.
Like the rules don't change much.
Yeah.
Or like they'll change from version to version sometimes, but as long as you're playing within the same game, because if it changes, it becomes unfair and it's no fun.
Yeah.
But unlike the rest of the computer world it just happened to Steve. He did a Windows update and it black screened him.
It black screened him.
Right?
Yeah.
Literally, give me a black screen, just the cursor and nothing else. I had to uninstall the update in order for us to get the show up.
Right, but this is one of the reasons I have this show, is because this happens all the time in the computer world where all the computers in your life are constantly screwing you.
Yeah.
You know, and like yeah. And so, I mean, I get why kids are drawn to games, because kids inherently like fairness, because they're not stupid.
Yeah.
They're just inexperienced.
Having
things be fair teaches you faster when things are unfair, right?
Right.
I guess that's probably true, right?
It's probably true. But then you're actually talking about Fortnite and learning about the updates of Fortnite and how the RNG and the new updates sometimes screw around with the game so it's not professional anymore. That's another thing. That's another hat.
Oh, updates screwing games up. Is that a problem for you guys? Or?
Yes.
Okay, which games?
Straightforward, yes.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, right now they're dealing with the controversy with Fortnite with the mechs.
Okay.
So there's new mechs inside the game, mm-hmm. and they are totally overpowered, and nobody knows how to fight them.
Wait. That's why I play in Team Fortress, and that's not my problem.
And it's not a problem anymore, yes.
Sip. Anyway.
Sip. And when it comes to, for fighting games, there are game-breaking bugs that some characters have, and this is a competitive sport where you have like a sport that actually has a bug that makes everything winnable, and you're like, that needs to get out of the game right now. Like,
right, because just knowing that bug gives you an unfair advantage.
Yeah,
that's kind of ugly.
It is ugly.
Yeah. So is that happening? So you guys are in the fighting arena, maybe.
Yeah.
So like, is that happening? Are there any? Is it like, you know, is Smash Brothers created an update that totally screwed you guys, and like all of a sudden you have to change your whole strategy 3 weeks before a contest, or any of them? You know, you don't want to say.
I plead the fifth.
You plead the fifth.
I plead the fifth.
Oh, we found an identity. It's like a divide by zero. We found an identity.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you got to let the other team eat it. Right,
yeah.
You guys figure out how to get around it, and it hurts them.
Or the game or the tournament organizer has to go and say, you can't use this.
Yeah.
During or this character is considered illegal.
Right.
Yeah.
Which will happen.
Which will happen.
Nice. Okay. So there's banned characters, banned boards,
banned
features.
Yeah.
And they'll shut this stuff off for the tournament.
They shut this stuff off.
Or they'll force everybody back down to an older version. I remember the Minecraft, when we played the Minecraft arena stuff, everyone had to be in the same version.
Yeah.
You know, no mods, you know, this loader, that kind of stuff, you know, or
yeah,
it didn't work.
Like that. Yeah.
Is there like any like physical, like you guys are on PC or in console or
console.
Or is it always console or
there is a thing for PC, but that's expensive.
Right.
And then on top of that, you're gonna have to have the same PC for each and every single setup.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a little bit more pricey.
Right, because otherwise someone's CPU is a little faster.
Faster,
it
yeah.
gives them an advantage.
Yes.
Less lag.
Headphones, too. You have better headphones, someone else can hear more going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so actually it's funny. Steve had told me about a set of the 3D headphones. What the heck were they? The ones where you have the surround sound headphones?
They're not really 3D, but they have like some with physical speakers in it.
Right, so when you the way it works, I didn't know about this because, of course, in Linux, I'm a Linux guy. So most of my gaming is in Linux. If you notice, all my game titles work in Linux.
Okay.
So, you know, I do play console games. I have a PS4 and stuff.
Yeah.
But we have a very console in the house. Oh, my God. Multiple consoles because, of course, the kids fight. You know, I want the Wii. No, I want the Wii. No, we had two Wiis.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know about this, But the surround sound headphones, I was like, that can't possibly work. And then I get home and I look it up and I'm like, oh, okay, that makes perfect sense. It's driver. It's software oriented. They figure out where the headphones are and then change the sounds based on where your head is. Right. So but there's no driver for that part of that aspect of an Linux, so it's just a pair of headphones.
Yeah.
So
they work. A lot of games take, if you put in a headphone, it actually bounces the frequencies around the cups so you can hear in different perspectives, like the imaging.
Right. But I believed that worked. That makes sense to me. The problem I didn't understand was, I was like, how does it know where your head is? So like, what if you turn your head? You know, like,
yeah.
It's more like where your character is.
Right, but it actually has it also figures out where your head is. So, but is there hardware that you guys use? Are you allowed to use special controllers? Are you allowed to use special headphones? You don't have to give away your secrets again.
I'm not talking about any secrets. Like,
I don't know. I don't know what the secrets are. You got to have advantages, right?
I mean, when it comes to fighting games, the peripheral is something that's player oriented.
Like, right.
I mean, you can win on any type of peripheral, it's just what you're comfortable with.
Right.
So they have, now we have like, you have the regular controller, you have these Astro controllers, which all my players are on right now, mm-hmm. like the Astro C40s.
Mm-hmm. Scuff.
Well, Scuff is actually the
Steve knows everything.
You can make it unfair, but also that's kind of like, that's more for FPS. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, because Scuff, you can actually, it's the original controller and you're actually upgrading on it. Currently with Astros, it's basically, there's a new pad, mm-hmm. completely new pad. We have joysticks, like, you know, from back in the days. You can completely modify them. They can have silence buttons on it, too.
Okay.
There's now the mix box, the hitbox, and this new controller that just came out from Hitbox that has a joystick and three different directional control buttons. It's the most wonkiest thing I've ever seen before in my whole entire
life. How about, like, turbo buttons or auto strike buttons?
You know? I mean,
are they allowed or are they disallowed?
I mean, I think they're disallowed, but you can't really check that controller for that.
Right.
And
yeah, they're tracing the circuits.
Well, there's the other thing, like with Melee, like people still play Smash Brothers, Super Smash Brothers Melee, and the Melee controller has to be broken for you to actually play it.
Oh, okay.
Like.
Right.
Yeah, for you to play at a high level, it has to be broken.
Okay, so the normal controller doesn't work.
It doesn't work. They have to break it first.
You can't be competitive with.
You can't wave dash properly on a regular controller. You have to actually break it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's spectacular.
It is spectacular.
Break it in, or like physically?
They physically have to mess with it. They actually have to do that.
Oh.
Wow.
Like there's like the Melee controller is actually broken.
Oh, this is so technocrat. I love this conversation.
I also fix I actually do stick mods and everything like that for myself.
Okay.
So that's the reason why
Right.
I know.
Not just for your team, but also for yourself.
Yeah, because I love opening up the joysticks.
Do you go home at night and just play video games?
I try.
Nice.
I try. It's just
like,
hard.
You don't want to be the teacher's kid because they come home and like, get away from me, kid. I'm tired of kids. You know.
Yeah.
But do you go home and you're tired of video games, or you're like, I want more?
I love to play video games all night, but I have to sleep. So
right.
I have to go to work, and I have to sleep. So
right. You got a day job.
I do have a day job.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it a dream to get rid of the day job?
I'm never going to get rid
of the day job. With all the love in the world for your day job. But,
yeah.
You know, in the most loving way. Like, I love you guys, but I got to go, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Fame and fortune calls.
Fame and fortune calls. Actually, when it comes to the second job, I actually want to build it up so that I have enough money to actually pay other people to run it so I can just do my day job and then report back and forth once in a while to Dynamic Focus.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're going to give them broad strategy and objectives, but you wouldn't be in the day-to-day kind of tactical stuff.
Yeah, I want to be Cobra Commander.
Nice.
Nice.
Well, hopefully your team will shoot better.
Yeah.
Oh man, you just totally tickled my 80s kid fancy. Yeah. So, well, that's kind of cool. So I do you guys have like a fan base yet? Is there like a bunch of people that like come to your stuff? Are the players the fans, or is it like a community, or is it like two separate groups?
Okay, so I try to build a community because of the fact that having community means that you have people actually buying your stuff. Yes.
Right. Nice.
Yes.
Excellent.
So I do have apparel. I do have.
So people tend to have day jobs. It sounds like.
Yeah. You know? All my team members are. They're actually a 9-to-5 team.
So. Right. Right. There's a great quote about rock and roll. I think it was David Lee Roth was talking about somebody asked him about why he wears like furs and tights and stuff, you know, in the 80s. And he's just like, well, you know, that way people know I'm a rock star, because if you know, you don't have to do, this is how I tell people, I don't have a day job and I don't care about one.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, but that's, of course, a very tiny sliver of the world, even the acting world, or the fiction world, or the gaming world, or any kind of entertainment. It's a very rare sliver of people who just don't have to have a day job.
Yeah,
yeah. But that's the dream. You really want to.
Yeah.
Okay. And I guess it's the team's dream too, right? To get to that point.
Yeah, like I have one person that's actually have two people at 24-hour gamers. One is a streamer for, the other one is.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that. That gives me hope.
It
gives me hope I won't have to quit this digs one day and say, I'm out of here, I give up.
But they still live at home, so.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, LA, New York, wait, I'm going to defend them. So New York is tough. New York is super expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, everything here is like, you know, you could get by with $10,000 or $15,000 in a lot of different places in the country. You're talking 40 to 50 here.
Yes.
Just to survive.
And it's very difficult.
That's like poverty. That's like serious. Yeah. Like, it's difficult to survive at that level. I mean, unless there's gifts at some point.
Yeah.
You know, without either the money or gifts, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You're screwed in New York. So, yeah, it's really tough to stay here. So I don't blame them for, you know, that them living with their parents doesn't necessarily mean they're not living the dream, so to speak.
I mean,
they could be, you know.
They could be, and I want to build it up so those 24, the full-time gamers can be full-time gamers and still maintain a lifestyle. So that's the reason why I try to go for the marketing sponsorships and everything like that, just so they can
They're just going to be able to crush it.
If
they can just focus on the gaming.
Yeah, and mostly. They're different shows because one of the guys, like, he is on he's partnered on Twitch right now.
Okay.
So he's trying to, like, it's just recent, so I'm gonna have to go and find other jobs for him, because since he's partnered, a doorway opens up for him for more marketing.
Right.
Opportunities. So.
So what are the marketing? What's the marketing stuff like? Are there companies out there trying to cross brand with you guys?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So you have sponsors.
I don't.
You don't. You're looking for sponsors, huh?
Yes,
so right there, you heard it. You're looking for sponsors, an up and coming team.
Please.
And by the way, if you wanted to sponsor my show, or that's okay. If you feel like doing it, I would love to do it. I would love to have sponsors, but I've been very lucky that I haven't needed them yet. So
yeah.
I'm okay for now.
I'm in need, and it's been a difficult road because I've dealt with some things that I'm not going to completely discuss.
No, that's fine.
Because, yeah. And it's...
How dare you have private things on a public show? Yeah, everybody's got private things. That's bullshit. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's the next hump for me right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but you always envision yourself having a full-time job, doing your engineering work, and also doing this. Because you have your passion, and you also have
my day job, too.
Okay, cool.
I'm never going to quit. I'm never going to quit Con Ed. I've spent too many years in that job for me to actually quit.
Right.
And I love the idea of having a pension, so...
Right.
Yes.
Well, I'm sure you also have good relationships with your coworkers, and
they're all
knowing your... Well, they're not watching anymore. You're like, all right, that's it. I'm out of here. Was it a job? Obviously, if it wasn't a job, they wouldn't pay you, right?
Yeah.
You know, at some point, it's rough. Even something where you were doing a podcasting or video games, you're gonna have bad days where you're like, oh fuck this, I don't care, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Have you had that like bad day where you just wanted to quit and you're like, I don't want to do this anymore?
Recently, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I had that. It's because of trying to plan for everything, because since we have travel and leagues and point systems and everything now, mm-hmm. when it comes to fighting games, like all of them have world tours,
mm-hmm.
And more games for fighting games have world tours.
Right.
So we're going to have to send out our players to different
So the leagues obviously have sponsorship.
Yes,
they
the
must.
Leagues have yeah, they the must. Leagues have sponsorship.
So that they pass that sponsorship along to the players to give them, a portion or all of the money that they need to participate in that tour. Anything?
No.
A coupon to Wendy's?
I wish.
You heard it here first. Marketing genius, coupon to Wendy's.
Coupon to Wendy's. But they don't. They actually...
This is really a struggle.
It is.
You got to want it. It's like the Olympics. Like the Olympic athletes are the same thing. They get nothing until they win.
Yes.
They're just completely out. But they, even then, they have governments that want the prestige of their country winning.
Yeah.
So the government will throw in some money.
But when it comes to teams and stuff like that, I'm the one that's the government,
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one that makes sure that they can get to the leagues and everything else on mm-hmm. time. And scheduling and stuff like that. So I'm the one that actually pushing them out there. And I'm the one that's pushing them out there and actually doing the media decks and making sure that the sponsor decks are there and talking to different and networking and making sure that everybody has gets a spotlight to be shown as a competent marketing entity.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get all of that going together while making sure that everybody is good.
Mm-hmm.
And and the only time when they actually get something done is if they're boosted so much that they get invitationals to different tournaments. And when those invitationals happen, and those people actually...
So invitationals are when the money is handed to you to
handed
get to the...
Yes.
Okay, the hotel and the airfare.
Everything is handed to them.
All right. So invitationals is the next level.
That would be invitationals are the level that I'm on right now. So
really? Oh, great. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when GER won RTX Expo,
mm-hmm.
That was completely supplied by RTX. Like,
nice.
Rooster Teeth did it. So they flew him out. They gave him the pay for dinner, to pay for everything. And then he performed on stage and then won that tournament. Then after that, he went to Twitch Rivals mm-hmm. in California, Burbank, California. And they supplied everything.
So when does this, how do you guys reach out to people? And I mean, this is pretty complicated, right? This chaos, first of all. There's all these different leagues.
Like, okay, so just remember, fighting games is chaos. Like, we're just like...
I'm talking about meat space. I'm talking about the human world.
Yes.
Like, there's so many leagues,
yes.
and there's so many players, and there's so many different tournaments,
yes.
and you have invitationals, and then you have the more kind of... bootstrap kind of organization.
Yeah, the bootstrap, the grassroots organizations.
Oh, grassroots. And like, how do people sort through this? I mean, like, do you guys put videos together and say, this is our team, this is where we're competing, we're going to be here next day? Is it your Facebook account? Is it like social media?
We're mostly on Twitter. I do Instagram and I do Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my reach is basically we have photographers, we have videographers, we have Twitch, we have YouTube and everything like that, and we're just trying to push this message that we exist.
Right, right.
And
check us out.
Check us out. Just we exist, we exist, we exist, we exist, and then all these invitationals and everybody else comes and sees, oh, these guys exist. They look cool. Let's send them to this invitational right now.
Right. That's,
See how they do.
Is that part of it? Is see how they do? Like see like you know measure your performance and then if you perform well, okay, great. You're coming back to the next invitational.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a place to.
Yeah. You have to keep on placing. You have to keep on working hard, and it's like. It's amazingly hard to do.
Well, it could be really discouraging for someone who doesn't have a head for business. Like,
yeah.
See that immediate, just from this conversation and all the pieces in motion.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just leadership's just doing the stuff that no one else wants to do sometimes.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I'm sure you're trying to avoid the situation where they get discouraged, and you're kind of jumping on the discouragement grenade.
I'm always on.
The sadness grenade.
I'm always on.
Oh, this sucks. This is so stupid. Let's just jump on this. Oh, God, that hurt.
Oh, just get it back up again. And just, yeah, that's, I'm definitely doing that.
So you must be made of iron. You must have really thick skin to.
I'm.
Yeah. For reference, her eyes rolled back in her head.
I
don't know if you can see that. I think you can.
Yeah, yeah, it's like okay. It definitely is back in my head.
Okay, so like, so, do you ever see the? I still want to get into. I want to get more into the ethics stuff. By the way, do you want a drink?
Yes.
Would you like a drink?
After saying all of that, I definitely would like a drink.
Would you like sake? Would you like Chardonnay? Or would you like white wine?
We got some more coffee.
Oh no more coffee. It's time to
yeah, she's energized. I think we're I'm fine. I'm switching with her. Well, I'm letting you lead. So
let's see.
Sake?
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay.
Hey, you want me to pour you? Just tell me when.
Where are you gonna pour it?
I'm gonna pour it in here because that's what we got.
Oh, yay.
Okay, so just say when.
When.
Okay. I am completely inexperienced, so I don't know how much to put in.
Okay.
I'm gonna have some red, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, Chardonnay, whatever. I'm so Philistine when it comes to wine. It's just a marketing thing, really.
Oh, yeah.
It's a marketing thing. I'm
drinking.
Drinking and marketing.
To marketing.
Yeah.
Huzzah. I don't know why I keep on doing that.
It's a trick cup. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
It's me. I've endangered the mission. I think that's kind of the end of my questions for. Do you have any questions for me about the show or anything? Or
I don't care about you.
Okay. Fair enough. I remember what I wanted to ask. So procedural. So is there a situation where you could see procedural gaming becoming part of your repertoire? I mean, like, let's see. So right now you're doing Mortal Kombat. Stop me if I'm wrong. Mortal Kombat 11, Soul Calibur 6, Dragon Ball FighterZ, Pokken, and Smash Brothers Ultimate.
Yeah.
So if people don't know, those are all up-to-the-minute side-scroller style fighting games a la Street Fighter. But they're much more modern, better graphics.
Better graphics.
They are 3D because it does pay, all of them have camera shifts. But the fighters fight each other always in a line?
Nope. Because you're talking about Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur 6 is actually on a 3D plane.
Okay, so you can really,
you're moving within a 3D plane.
So the camera work's got to be really, how the camera algorithm's working, it's got to be really important for that.
Yeah.
Is that tough to figure out, or does that make it too complicated to strategize? Or?
I mean, it doesn't unless the camera decides to do something funky.
Okay.
And there are bugs with the camera.
That happens to me. That's why I'm asking about that. It happens all the time in games.
Yeah.
Where the camera says, "Blink," and it's all, what? Oh no! And you fall off the cliff.
Yeah.
Why did you do that? I hate you, computer.
Yeah. Like I saw in one of the Soul Calibur tournaments during Evo, and I was like, and I just sat there with my cameraman. We were like, did the camera just flip? Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, it just flipped. all right, forget it. It'll just keep on going. Like, they just continue to just, as if nothing happened.
Well, it could work to your player's advantage.
Yeah.
Right, because they could see, their brain could go bloop and flip with it, and the other guy doesn't, and you got him. Yeah. Boom, 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 I meet you.
yes.
So do you see a situation where, like, you could, procedural games will be okay, where the playing field is? I mean, I know there are definitely team sports, you know, video game team sports where the it is procedural, like Minecraft or something, or yeah, where the world is being actively built.
Yeah.
Do you see that ever becoming part of your repertoire, or is is the barrier to entry too high, or is it just too risky?
It's not even like, I would say too risky. The reason why it could be too risky is because I have to actually look through a talent pool. Mm-hmm. And if I guess wrong, I have a person that's not going to be able to compete on the same level as everybody else, because
it's much harder to figure out who the right players are.
Yeah, because when you have, like, that's why I said with Fortnite and Apex. Well, Apex is a little bit better because Apex.
Well, Fortnite's that interesting blend of the predictability of some of the boards and first person shooters, while the total chaos of Minecraft with the procedural,
yeah.
Yeah, so, land generation.
Yeah, land generation. So, and, but when it comes to like a game that actually tries to tone down the RNG, mm-hmm, like with Apex, I will say that they actually try to do that. Mm-hmm. Because every single character has a certain skill, mm-hmm, and learn and being cohesive and being able to work with those strengths and weaknesses.
Right.
But so when it comes to that, it's easier to find a direct team that works together with each other and be able to work with that team and to build them up and to move them throughout the leagues. When it comes to complete RNG, complete worlds that has, like, where if that player is just good in that certain world, mm-hmm, all of a sudden I'm putting into another competition and they're just screwed by just feeling out of place. Mm-hmm. That's a problem.
Right. So you don't think it's a solvable problem?
Is a solvable problem when you're good at recruitment and you have a lot of money to burn.
Right.
You got a lot of money to burn. Right.
Well, I mean, of course, money forgives a lot of mistakes.
Yes, it does.
It does not solve everything, but it does solve a lot of things.
Yeah,
it solves
a lot of things.
Well, you can just keep throwing spaghetti at the wall until something sticks.
Yes.
Like the rest of the tech world.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is they do this all the time in programming and in video game development too.
Yeah.
You know, just top down, just throw stuff until something works.
Look,
we got the game to not crash for 3 hours. We're shipping.
Yeah.
Where it must be 1.0. It stayed up for 3 hours. So, okay. I can see that. So I noticed that, like sometimes you're struggling for words. So, I have a thing on that I kind of came up with called the complexity horizon.
Okay.
With this idea that one of the problems in the tech world is that sometimes technology evolves faster than we can make words to actually describe the technologies we're talking about.
Yes.
Is that like a problem for you guys? Do you find that you're inventing words a lot? Like, could you tell me some of the words you guys have made up to talk about, like, weird or funny situations in video games that, like, there's no word for and you just have your own internal lingo?
Kind of like
video game slang, you know?
Oh, jeez. I'm not prepared for this.
No, that's fine. But you do have them, though.
We do have them.
Yeah, I mean, the tech world is... the idea of the complexity horizon, where you get to a point where the technology is changing so fast, you can't even make up words fast enough, uh-huh, to describe what's happening. And with the amount of video games, I mean, you said there's 200 indie developers at that New York City conference.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many video games that come out every year.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when I was in the 80s, you know, the console games were maybe, you know, dozens would come out a year. And home games were maybe hundreds between all the systems.
Yeah.
Now it's just insane. I mean, I have no idea where to start.
Like,
is there, like,
you know, do you know gamers that like you want to promote their games, or how do you sort through, you know, first of all, you know, do you use your own lingo to try to deal with the technologies as they come out in games? And also, do you know any developers who are like, you want to help give a shout out, and they're writing great games that no one's paying any attention to?
Oh my goodness, there's one at the Game Developers, Game Devs of Color. Mm-hmm. Like, I forgot his, it's like a time crisis.
Is there like an organization or?
Game Developers of Color?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually a conference.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was, I actually spoke at Game Developers of Color.
And when was that?
That was on the 27th of August.
Oh, okay. Oh, so it's coming up. It hasn't even come.
Sorry. It's 27th of July.
That's in the recent past. You went to that right before Evo at some point.
Yeah.
Okay. And do they have like public stuff, or is that just for?
It was public, and one of the games already came out in January, and I'm trying to remember his game. Let me.
No, it's okay. Well, you can look it up. I'll work on my next question while you're looking that up. So. So when you're ready with that, I've got a question about technocrats. I was curious who's like the most interesting person in the technical world for you right now. I mean, obviously it's great to give your friend a shout out, and I want to not miss that either. But also I'm curious. So I'll give you some examples, and you can just ignore me because I'm just going to read them off.
Amazon, are you?
So that's fine. Yeah, you know what? I know that's why. I know that you love me when you say that because I'm giving you free airtime, right?
Yeah, no, I am.
No, this is super interesting, and I'm really glad you came on, and I'm glad I get to grill you and ask you what's going on with this. So, some of the technocrats would like Satoshi Nakamoto, Linus Torvalds, Eric Raymond, David Brin. This one's interesting. That Calvin Klein model, who is. A programmer also, Lindsay Scott.
Okay.
Aaron Schwartz, who was the guy who committed suicide when he was the FBI captured him for, you know, cross-compiling journals. Lloyd Blankfein, who the guy from the bank, you know, they're doing God's work.
Yeah.
Did you get the guy's name?
Oh, I got the guy's name. It's Kelly Davis.
Oh, okay.
And his game is called Chrono Ghost, and it's now out on Steam.
Right, and so you play this game, and oh, it's on Steam, so people can just download it. Is it for free, or is it?
No,
you gotta pay for it.
You gotta pay for it, but it's actually a really good game.
And what was the name of it? It was
Chrono Ghost.
Okay, cool. See, I don't mind shoutouts. That's
yeah,
cool. Yeah, especially if someone's doing good work and they're not getting recognized.
It was like he was not getting recognized. Like I was like, oh, when's your game out? It came out before. It's like. Dude, why don't you go to different streamers and get your game, give out free copies of your game?
Right.
And they will just play it on Steam and people would actually get your game because it's actually a really good game.
You know, actually this reminds me, you know, kind of what we were talking about before. Do you guys talk shit when you're practicing against each other?
Yeah.
You guys all like, you know, fuck you, I hate you, you suck. You screw that up every time. Why do you even bother? Yeah, why'd you even come here today?
We would've come here.
I hate you. I hope you die. All right, see you later.
See you later. You know? Yeah. Basically.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, every time I've really got, when I'm friends with someone or whenever we play any kind of game or sport, we're always talking. Fuck you, I'm gonna beat you, you're gonna die, you're gonna, you know, no, it just comes out.
My players, they generally just troll me. They just find things to egg me on, and that's what they do.
Is it just goofy fun all the time?
It's mad goofy fun, they're just the worst.
It would be fun to have him on if you wanted to have
him. Yeah, I actually would like to bring him on because I know for a fact that they'll probably be like, the first they'll be kind of quiet and then afterwards just going to attack me.
It just flows, right?
It just flows. The way they actually attack me is really funny.
Yeah.
Like, they're just like gang together. Like, as I said, when we were in Evo, we had this conversation before the camera. Like, I had one player. Like, you have to remember, they're all over the age of 21.
Mm-hmm.
So, this one player, he's walking around just screaming out, like, just random words. And just like, and you're like, why are you doing this? And it's like, he would just scream out like, ultra-thin condoms. I'm like, what are you doing? And the other one would just be jumping around and squeaking his stegers, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're just, like, playing off, and they started making a song out of, like, just him screaming out random words, the other one just squeaking his sneakers. It was just like...
Right, right.
If I was your mother, I would bury you by now.
Nice.
Y'all would have been in my backyard.
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I kind of had a feeling. So it'd be fun to have him on. I mean, I don't know when it's going to be a while because yeah. We got, you know, as you can see, we have a vast and spacious studio here.
Yeah.
That can maybe fit five people if we try.
And but, and everybody you know, in my team is pretty tall.
Five's the limit. Even if this room gets pretty hot with five people on it. So
oh,
yeah. You've got the door open and Steve's just standing in the doorway. Wait, fanning us, but it still doesn't do enough.
I got the songbird to wave its wings.
Oh, nice!
Perfectly.
Excellent.
Oh, yes.
Oh, from Bioshock 2,
BioShock,
right?
Bioshock, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. Are there any games you like to play that are just you're never going to compete in, but are like one of your favorite games, or is it just competitive games now for you?
Oh no, I don't play competitive because I don't practice enough to actually play competitive games. But I do play like
me too.
Yay! I play Minecraft.
And now I see an opportunity for shit talking here, right?
Yeah. I play Minecraft. I play Monster Hunter. I play Soul Calibur sometimes. Mm-hmm. I play a lot of Anime Fighters, and I'm garbage.
Nice.
I'm garbage.
Sweet.
Yeah. So.
This means not fun.
Yeah, it's not fun. It's mad fun to play these things. I just play a wild range of games, and also I play DJ Max and stuff like that, and I awe my team because they're like, why the hell are you playing this rhythm game at such a high level and you don't play fighting games? I'm like, dude, I've been playing this game for like the longest time. Yeah, my fingering is really good for the game. Like, it's like playing the piano mm-hmm. for this game. So like, yeah, I'm good, but I'm still garbage at fighting games because I have to train my fingers to and my reactions to actually compete on the same level as you guys.
Right. You just they're more dedicated to it. You got a day job. They may not, or they're more focused on the one game, and you want to spread out. And do you find yourself meandering through games looking for what the next big game's going to be?
Yeah, I'm.
Are you like waiting on line at the big releases?
I'm waiting for Granblue Fantasy right now. Granblue Fantasy Versus. Like, I played the demo and I was like crushing it, but I'm thinking that I'm crushing it because my internet's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. But yeah, I'm waiting for that game. I really want to play.
What's that about? I haven't heard of it.
So. Granblue Fantasy is actually a fighting game. It's by Arc System.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's an anime fighter that's coming out in early 2020.
Okay.
So, yeah, and...
All right, cool. I'll watch for it when it comes out.
Yeah.
I'm excited, too.
Yes. simple buttons, but a lot of fundamentals, so...
Well, you know, those games, even if I'm not competitive or if you're not competitive...
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, but, you know... Like, but I mean, there's nothing quite like, you know, watching someone get their head smushed.
Mushed, yeah.
When you're mashing buttons, ha! I win. my kids kick my butt at Smash Brothers. So
I can't do that.
There was a point at which I was beating them, and then it turned, and now they're beating me, and I'm like, all right, you win. I don't want to play him. It's too embarrassing. Yeah. So have you guys thought about doing any VR kind of stuff or Oculus or PlayStation 4?
So I love Beat Saber so much because it's such a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And also I'm a rhythm gamer, so yeah, that was when I first played it at the Samsung store.
It's like a Dance Dance Revolution kind of thing? Or?
Oh, it's basically like Jedi... saber fighting.
Right.
Yeah, and you're basically...
It's for the audience, too. They may know what you're talking about. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, is it just arms, or...?
It's arms and is also ducking and movement and stuff like that.
Wow.
It's really cool.
Okay, cool.
It's a cool game. And I wish I had it.
I think I heard something about this. This is what, was it lightsabers you're talking about?
It was lightsabers, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. I have seen, finally, I know one of the games you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not completely out of touch. Do you see VR being like a big thing? So my experience with VR, I'm sorry, you probably don't care, but, you know, like, PS4, I have a PS4 VR system at home.
Yeah.
And my experience is it completely depends on the game. Some games are great and they're really well put together. And if a game isn't well put together and the motion isn't, you know, the motion is more important than the graphics.
Yes.
You're completely sick to your stomach.
Yes.
You're like, you just like, kill me. I don't want to even.
I just want to die.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, so do you see VR as like a platform fixing that for all games, or is it always going to be touch and go with game? You know, like, what are your experiences? Or
I have, it's either I'm really good with the game or the game is just really horrible. I just streamed a game and it was not pleasant to play. Yeah, and it was just like a Rock Band game with VR, and it was just, ooh, boy.
Yeah, that was awful.
It was like somebody that didn't get human interaction and visuals.
There's a lot of pieces. I mean, I've seen games that like people love outside of VR, and they go into VR and they're garbage. Nobody wants to play them.
Yeah.
You know, and also, some of the games that are shorter and smaller, I found are better.
Yeah.
Because more love's given into the time you're in it. You know, they worry more about the immersion and less about the huge experience.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it's a while off, right? Maybe the economy of scale just isn't there yet to put the effort in you need to make really great, epic VR games.
Mm-hmm.
That's a shame, but, I guess the place I'm going with this is because you guys are doing fighting games. So, of course, what's the natural progression? It would be the next step towards a holodeck, you know, where you're actually doing the motions in the game, in the VR system.
Okay.
Right. So, maybe not. Of course, no one's going to be jumping 10 feet in the air.
Yeah, no.
But maybe like a hop means a bigger jump in the game, and the fists moving mean that that's when you do the uppercut or lower punch or whatnot.
Or
this stuff's just not on the radar.
It's not on the radar yet, but I want to live in a world where angelic layer is actually a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if somebody knows what angelic layer is,
I don't.
Okay,
I was just giving you a knowing nod.
Oh, knowing nod, yeah.
That's mostly what the show is. It's just knowing nod.
Yeah.
Write down Google later.
Oh yeah. <you're gonna laughs> okay. Angelic layer is an anime for little girls, but it's the best thing ever because it's one of those things I really wanted to play. Like, if it's actually a thing, where you make your own doll and you throw it into the lair and it runs and thinks on your level and fights for you.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
okay.
It was like it's one of those concepts that was actually really cool.
That's cool. That could be great if it was executed well.
It was executed well, yeah.
Do you see any future in cell phone gaming at all, or?
I mean, if you want to talk about it, like Hearthstone and Clash Royale and all these games actually have esports to it, and they have big prizes to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like huge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's definitely cell phone
there's
gaming.
There's a cell phone gaming is definitely going into the esports realm.
Yeah, so my kids were
not going into, they're already in the esports realm.
Kids, I guess I don't want to say my kids, but the not millennials, but what's the one after millennials? What's the generation after millennials?
Gen Z.
Yeah, so Gen Z, I think, is the first generation that was raised on touchscreens.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're going to have an advantage with those games because, I mean, just like having played with touchscreens from birth. You know, you're gonna get it in a way that everyone else is just you're not even gonna be able to compete. I'm curious. So I want to talk a little computer science since you're a computer scientist.
Okay.
And I don't always have computer scientists in here.
Okay.
What's your favorite algorithm? So I'll tell you what mine is. Sorry.
Okay.
I'll tell you what mine is. So mine is the one I said last week. It's probably going to I'm going to change it one of these weeks. But the one I used last week was noise canceling The noise canceling algorithm, the one where sounds are played and they cancel out the sound waveforms through the speakers in like headphones or such.
Okay.
So I like that algorithm. I think that's a great algorithm. It's simple, but it's genius, and it does a lot of good.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially if you're in a cubicle farm. So, do you have a favorite algorithm? Is there something that you just love? I mean, it could be something in your car, something in your DVR, something in one of the games you guys play. You know, I mean, obviously, here, I'll jump in and I'll say, I could see you saying your least favorite algorithm was the algorithm that determined where the camera was going to be.
Yes. Yeah. I hate camera algorithms.
Right, which one was it? It was Soul Calibur 6.
Soul Calibur 6 had
Has a terrible camera algorithm because you can just jump around.
It actually doesn't have a terrible algorithm. It actually has a great algorithm. It's just sometimes it would just like, I'm just going to do this. And you're like, why? Why did you just do that? Same thing with Tekken. They've seen the Tekken bugs where they did a super and all of a sudden the person's in the next block away, and you're like, how did the camera do that?
Right.
Yeah. So
what? Yeah.
So I'm camera algorithms.
Generally, teleportation is a bad attribute of camera algorithm.
Yeah.
You tend to do this. Blah, what?
What happened? What happened? Exactly.
People don't do that.
No, they don't.
Yes. Yeah. Except maybe in Harry Potter, but you know.
Harry Potter. What's my favorite algorithm? Actually, I don't have one because I hate every single algorithm ever.
Oh. Algorithms are just problems to be solved.
Yes, they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of.
That's why I went into power, because
Right. So you could just completely step around the algorithm. Good luck with those algorithms, guys.
I'll just do relays. This is fun.
So, are there a lot of women gamers coming up in the gamer space? Excellent.
Yeah.
So, are you? Are they in New York, or is it just not? Is it around here? Or do you have women gamers?
I mean, there's different, like I help out Combo Queens, and I help out Ladies Night FGC, and there's Babality. I don't help them out, but I do shout out Babality. Like, there's a lot of things where women can actually group together, learn together, and grow together in the scene, and teach other women about professional gaming and stuff like that, because women get scared off by the online scene, because anonymity creates monsters. And if you tell people that, hey, if you went to this tournament, people don't act like crazy people in front of you, because they're kind of scared when the anonymity goes away. So,
because there might be three big guys standing there saying, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Where do you get off talking to people like that? And they go, this isn't the internet anymore. That's one of my favorite memes. No, I'm not on the internet
anymore. Or it's me who's like 6'1", scrappy. So they're like, this woman's going to beat me up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where's the weapon? Doing the Jackie Chan thing. Is there something around here I can beat you with? Yeah. I was kind of curious about that. Do you know that we've been going? Here, check this out.
Yes.
It is. Is that right? Is it
11? 2 hours and 14 minutes.
2 hours and 14 minutes.
Yes.
We're over 2 hours in.
Yes.
Is it crazy?
It's crazy.
Were you worried when I told you it was 3 hours?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yet you make it, right?
Yes.
Are you doing okay? You want to keep going?
Can I get a break?
Maybe we'll just call it. Is there anything that you want to talk to me about? And it'd probably be easier to just call it, because we don't have, you know, we don't want people to wander off. Is there anybody you want to shout out, or anyone you're going to give announcements to, or anything up and coming that you're going to be at?
So I am going to be at Summer Jam, which is in Pennsylvania. So the team's going to be there, except for Gurr. He's not going to be there. We're going to try to send him off to Dublin.
Okay.
So we're raising funds for Dublin. My Twitch is Naughty Nimbus Z. His Twitch is Mr. Gurr. If you want to help us out, you can come and just donate, sub, do anything you want to. Give us bits. Like, We're looking into.
Do you guys do virtual currencies?
I don't.
Like Bitcoin or.
I don't have Bitcoin.
Or like, you know, okay. No, that's
yeah.
Fine. That's fine.
So definitely helping out the team, doing that, getting us growing, getting us moving, and until, you know, we get our, you know, marketing and stuff like that. But we'll definitely. And if you want us to actually advertise on your behalf, we definitely do the advertisements right. on our streams. And we do have good amounts of people actually viewing us. So, yes.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yes.
And I really appreciate it. Is there anything for me or...
I want to come back because this is awesome.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
You had a good time?
I had a good time.
Yeah, okay, great. There's tons of questions left on the table. I have lots more I can ask you. But yeah. I mean, we're already like two-thirds of the way through, and I'm starting to get a little spent too.
So. Okay.
But thanks so much for coming on.
Definitely.
All right.
All right.
Aziza Brown.
Hey.